Welcome to episode 40 of Under the Holotable, a Holotable News Network podcast covering in-depth analysis, mods, tips, and the hottest topics from the Outer Rim. I am Voxen, and joining me on today's episode, we have Mole Pokey.
Hello.
And our guest, Sanjita.
Hello, everybody.
Fear not, fellow listeners. UTH is back to guide you through these tumultuous times. We took another hiatus. I wasn't in a great place for a little bit, but I've been feeling a lot better lately, and I had some ideas from shows that I wanted to put together. So I started putting together a show this weekend, and CG said, feeling better, hold my beer, wait for Conquest. And so we are going to open the top of the show in case anyone has not talked or listened or heard enough about this Conquest fiasco. We are just going to dive right into it, and who best to join us for a Conquest conversation but Celiac Gong Show Sarah.
Was a gong show. How are you guys?
Yeah, doing great. So Sarah's not going to join us for the whole show, just this opening segment, and then we'll continue on with our usual programming. But Conquest, it's on the top and tip of everyone's mind. I guess maybe opinions have softened a little bit. I'm not really even sure where to start. Sarah, I guess I wanted to start with you and ask, I think one of the biggest things was you got stuck on the Sector 2 boss.
I did.
And as someone who is cutting their teeth on making content of how to beat stuff or how to, you know, get through things on your guides, I think you got really frustrated. And so I guess I had a bit of a question of what that was like. And then two, like what you used to beat it, like what was kind of the experience around that? And then I want to jump into Sanjita's experience because he cut a couple guides on beating some bosses as well.
Yeah. I got stuck on the Gamguard, but I noticed something was weird with the Gamguard boss when I went in diskless, as I normally do on the Sector 1 nodes, and I was like taking my Hut Cartel and absolutely got destroyed and was like, that doesn't feel right. And then eventually made my way through, figured it out, and I just figured it was maybe missing modifiers somewhere, like the actual descriptive text, because when I went back and looked at it, there was nothing that said it would be so dumb. But then basically what ended up happening was everyone was basically like, use your stacking, like your ramping offense discs, use Swiftless discs, like on the Jabba boss, and use Reva, use Lord Vader, do this, do that, like all of these things. And I was like, I don't have those discs because I got a voluntary Vanguard was the best option. I had a gray volatile accelerator. I think I had one Amplify Agni at that point. But a lot of my disc selection so far, even now, still as I'm going through, has been like Protection Recovery, Vitality, Insatiable. Like it's just been trash. And I'm like, I guess I'll take you. Like, sure. So I didn't really have an offensive build just based off the RNG. And I was so mad. I think I wasted probably 300 energy on Jabba. Jeez. Just trying different. I literally was to the point where I was like, I need to cut this video for Sector 2. And I was basically resigning myself to be like, my intro to the video is going to be like, just so you guys know, full disclosure before we even get into this, I'm stuck on the boss. So I'll show you what I did elsewhere and do that as you will, but I can't get through. And like, that was my whole idea. And I even tried CLS with like what people were telling me to do, and it wouldn't work for me at first. And then it finally ended up working when not only did I add an offense consumable, I added the Gideon consumable and a health pack. And it finally worked. And I was just like, this is insane. But I know there was someone in my guild who has a bigger roster than I do and better mods than I do. And all that. And he spent all of his 50s, all of his 100s, and a 200 on Jabba trying to get through. And we were both very I tried Maul. Like, everyone's like, oh, use the frenzy tech and like do the, like the Maul Watt thing. And I'm like, all right, I'll try Maul. No, and it was just ridiculous. So what did you guys do?
Yeah, how did you guys get through? And so I guess I wanted to ask you guys as well, like, what do you think you spent on energy, you know, wasted essentially on that first day, like Sanjita? You know, I guess maybe for you, you also kind of were trying to cut a couple guides on how to beat bosses, so maybe spent a little more.
Yeah, so I wasn't anticipating trying to make guide boss guides. I don't usually do that. I didn't do any of the like generic feat speculation comps this time because I didn't have time. So I was just doing like a casual Sector 1 playthrough, not even trying to be like a guide or anything. And I got to the mini boss, and I mean I don't live show much. I just record. I record in little chunks. And the first time I went against the mini boss, I used Seer, just normal Seer team. I threw Maul in there too, and I lost. And I was like, oh man, I'm a scrub. I can't let people see that. So I deleted that clip, and then I did it again. I was like, wait, what the heck? Like, this is ridiculous. And then I took in like, I don't know what I was using. I was using like JMK, Lord Vader. I was like, what? This is ridiculous. And then I just tried Rey Ben. I was like, okay, they're stupid and they're going after, they can only do Ben. But I thought I would time out with a 10 minutes because it got to like 2 minutes and Rey couldn't take a turn to do the ultimate. So, I mean, I wasted like probably between 200 and 300 total energy. On the first day with the 50s and the 100s on both like the opening few hours, because I get like a few hours before my daily reset where I get like kind of bonus refreshes. And then the 50s and 100s, I got through Sector 3 mini boss. But I got really held up on Jabba too. Not like that bad as Sarah, because that sounds awful. But I was using Aphra. I was like, oh, yeah. I tried other Galactic Legends, got nowhere. And I was like, oh, Aphra, like, is really good, and with data disk it should be nice. I also only had the crappy volatile accelerator, which is a huge difference. Like that one dot instead of two or three is just massive. Use B2, Darth Vader, and I got so close to winning one time, the whole team melted except Jabba, and I was like, oh, I got this. Vader, Merciless Massacre. Forgot that the Merciless Massacre doesn't pop up over Jabba, so I did like Force Crush on him, and then he just took a turn, killed my old team. Like, he just went over and over and killed my old team. So the next time I had to try, I got so mad. Like, I pretty much keep it together when I'm doing a video because I don't want to look terrible, but I get so mad when I'm like doing stuff by myself and it's over, and just failure over and over. And even though I knew it was ridiculous, I was really trying to get to the Sector 3 data cron node to waste as little data cache as I could. But I wasted like 20 million this time.
Whoa.
Because I couldn't get enough.
That was a huge, like, kind of consequence, I think, of this, you know, people being stuck on that, what would be a progression of trying to get there so you can do that cash. I was in the same boat. I mean, I don't go as hard on you guys at Scrunch, so I managed to only lose 2 million. But yeah, I had to, you know, spend some of the ally points on the Mark II currency and stuff like that. But more Poke, real quick. Oh yeah, sorry, go ahead.
I just want to point out one thing. I in the past I was tempted to do that too, use ally points or like shard shop to get Mark IIs or extra data crons to avoid wasting data cache. But like, how much, like, the translation is terrible. Oh, like, you shouldn't spend it to save data cache anymore, because like, what, to buy one data cron, it would be like over 7 million data cache with that charge up currency, and like a Mark II, it's like a million or something. Or like the amount you get from trying to catch up using that is horrible because data cache is so cheap now. But I feel like a lot of people are going to get caught in that trap.
Yeah, it's absolutely like a breaking case of emergency situation. I really try to avoid it. But I also keep like a million ally points on hand just for those types of situations in case
A million?
Yeah, that's my baseline for
get the shop currency, man.
Oh yeah, no, I trust me, I've always maintained at least like 40k short shop currency.
We'll use it.
Listen, I've got it all worked out, but
blow it all, man.
Heard it here first. Blow it all. Mo, what was your kind of experience like? Did you get to wasting any energy, or did you just calm, cool, and collected and decided to just wait for them to do the
Oh,
patch?
what a breeze. No, it was not great. I mean, I did get through Gamguard. I probably got through it on my sixth attempt or something like that. I JMK'd it. There was a very strange thing where you couldn't use cat to take the middle one out, except you could if you'd taken out the sides first. Like even if the sides had come back, then my cat was able to take the middle one out. I don't understand that. That actually seems like a bug, to be perfectly honest, but I was a bug I feel completely justified in taking advantage of under the circumstances. So that was
Nice.
okay. I actually don't remember what I used to get through Jabba. I just know it took a bunch of attempts. But I got through that one.
Oh,
I don't
nice.
know. Like I've just been kind of making my way on through all, well, not every boss or mini boss, but a lot of them have just been a struggle. The Vader EP one definitely took a few tries.
Yeah, Vader Wampa, that was one of the
Oh,
others
those,
that
yeah, I'm
Sanji
sorry,
did
Vader
too. Yeah.
Wampa. Vader EP
Yeah.
took a few tries too, but Vader Wampa, that sucked.
Yeah.
Vader EP sucked.
Oh, right, I forgot. Yeah, that's the Sector 3
The
boss.
final Sector 5 boss actually was not as bad as I thought it would be.
Wow, did you make it all the way through the Sector 5 boss before the patch? Wow. Okay.
Man. Dang.
And it's not
Slow clap.
I'm actually curious to see if that one's changed at all. It's a very strong, it's a very much a problem-solving node, not a how much damage can you do node. And I did it with Leia, and then I did it with a droid squad. Which I've watched on another YouTuber figured out. So anyway, I mean, but I got through it all. It sucked. It was not fun. I don't I have always thought, well, not always, but there have been times when I thought some of these bosses actually seem a little too easy, like in previous conquests. You know, like some of them you can just breeze through and it's a little like there's no challenge here at all. But that was the boy did they mess that up. It was not interesting. It was just a slog, pure slog.
Yeah, so my experience, I got the same thing. I got completely stopped hard on the Sector 2 boss, and but I knew that like that, and this was after the first patch, and I knew the second patch was coming. I mean, I definitely tried to always play the game like a day late, so I let all of the smarter people figure it out, and then I can, go through and use those strategies. And but I was seeing like the Lord Vader strategy like being used for that for Jabba. And it was I was getting really close, I felt like it was there, so I wanted to give it a couple extra tries just in case I could break through and start making some headway into Sector 3. And I was trying to kind of some different disc builds, and then I threw on like I had earned a deadly catalyst early on, and I threw that on, and then miraculously, I don't know why, but it just seemed like it was a breeze. It was just so easy with that disc, and I think I did that before the patch. I did that like this morning,
Well, that'll
and
ramp your damage up so
it
fast.
did.
So
And it was,
it's a
and I
good
think,
desk.
right. And it was like under the protection too. And so I think I had the thing that gets you speed as well. So then once like their health went a little bit under, and then they just never took a turn. I was like, oh, okay. So I guess just everyone needs to get a deadly catalyst within those first like two zones of, disc
Yeah, simple.
updates. Oh,
Yeah,
I
no
should also say,
problem.
by the way, one of the things that got me through all, like I used way many more consumables than I normally do.
Well, and this is okay, so
They're
this
a
is the thing.
scam.
This is
Like
where I want to take this. I want to zoom this out now
I
and
always
let's
end up
talk
with this
about.
huge pile of consumables that I basically never touch, or maybe I'll throw a speed one on if like I'm going in with like a 30% stamina squad and I've got it sitting around. But basically I don't really use consumables, but oh man, like health ones, defense, protection up.
Yeah, but you only get to use them once now.
I know.
And I
Right.
didn't
So,
even notice that. I like so The last thing I did one night when I was doing Conquest was beat that Sekiro 3 mini boss with the frenzy after like a bunch of fails. And then when I woke up, I was like, actually, I could probably make a video on that. I probably still have a couple of charges on the frenzy. I like started to record. I even went in, clicked at the battle, spent 20 energy. And I was like, where's the frenzy? I was like, so I just wasted the whole thing. And then I didn't think I had any more to buy. And then I bought one for actual crystals because I was like, I really wanted to make this video. But I was like, you get one? Like, these weren't even worth it when you got three. One? Yeah. Like, they were good enough to, they fixed Bad Batch Echo speed. They like tuned them down way slower, which is like way just so nice. Like, now we can actually do Ewok feats. But like, that consumables, that's just crap.
On I think it was on Sarah's Discord, we actually talked about the fact, we were like, is this a real thing? Because it was in Meathead's list.
and we were like,
well, but it's Meathead's list. Is it a typo? Like, you know, like, and can we trust the discs? Can we trust any of this? Who knows? Well, as it turns out.
Yeah. You know, and that's the thing, because they're always so inconsistent with whether the information is accurate or not. Like, I don't know. Like, maybe this is just like, because I didn't even see, like, that consumable list didn't have Tether Tech. It didn't have Frenzy. So I was worried that they would be gone in general. But I was going through I got up to Jabba on Professor X as well. And I was going extra slow on that one because at some point, it was yesterday, because it was before we recorded Crate, Xerath messaged me and like we were both fuming. I have never wanted to just like rage quit so badly. I was so mad. Irrationally angry, and Xerath was also very angry, and he's like, just stop doing Conquest on PX, like, just don't even bother. And I'm messaging the officers, I'm like, just so you know, me and Professor X aren't gonna have new Gideon at all. We're going to Proving Grounds. And like, just absolutely sour about everything. And anyway, so he hadn't bought the $10 pass because he was so angry. And I had already bought it.
Interesting.
It's literally the first thing I do. So, and I was mad that I did it, because I was like, I regret this. This is stupid.
Will you change going forward? Will you now like maybe do a battle before you buy the pass?
100%.
But your behavior.
So this is the thing, though. So he hadn't bought the pass. So now I'm going to do the Jabba node, and I'm like, I'm going to do the exact same thing that I did on my account because it worked. So our team should be identical. If anything, his should be better because he actually, you know, knows mods, and I'm just like, you can go here. So I went in, he had no consumables because he hadn't bought the pass. So now I had to go and buy consumables, which again, whatever, it's only a few. I just used some conquest currency, but I didn't have the offense one that I wanted. So like, I didn't have access to it at all. The only offensive one I had was a crit chance boost thing. And I was like, I don't think this is going to do anything here. And the health ones, I didn't have any health packs. I had health steal. So I was like, maybe this will work, which it did, thankfully. And Gideon worked. Because that was the only consumable he had, was the Gideon one. So if you don't buy the pass, you don't get any consumables right away while you're making your way through to even like kind of get you going. You have to buy them. And
that's awful.
It when I realized that, I was like, I don't like that. That does not feel good. And it would be totally different, in my opinion, if this was like a ramping thing where as you made your way through Conquest, through the sectors, the bosses got progressively more and more difficult, as they should, because you're making your way through. And then maybe in like Sector 4 and 5, they're like, hey, you really need consumables here, because at least by then you'd have ample time to have bought consumables and like maybe paid attention to the scavenger nodes and what they're offering you. No one really pays attention to that kind of stuff. And I think if that's the way that they were going to go, they should have told us that beforehand.
Yeah, my question really was to whoever was like tuning this conquest, like, can you show me where the player base hurt you? Because like I don't know what was going on here, but I kind of do. I want to like bring this, you know, perspective back a little bit and just talk about like, do you think that this like conquest, they intended to have a shift towards like bringing consumables, like tuning it towards consumables? I mean, it seems like there was that slant, but then they instead, but maybe they did a little too much, because instead, or even like didn't let us know that that was like the slant they were going, but then to also like pull back on consumables, you know, like the duration being less and things like that. So I guess I want to frame this a little bit as well. You know, I always see things as like black and white on these matters, you know, like either CG is a mastermind that I feel like actually executed this perfectly, where like, you know, player based rage aside, you know, you like overtune it, and then you, which is like just the introduction of like, hey, we want to increase the difficulty on this, but we don't want to tell people that we want to increase the difficulty on it, right? So then you do that, and then like you have this overreaction, but then you get to like correct and like hopefully like get back in their favor. But even now, like with what has been seeing like, oh, and now everything's easy and everything's like right again. Oh, and by the way, here's all these consumables that are part of the make good. And so now everyone is like given consumables, and now, oh, you've got these to test and like on an easier note, but also we have a data test that boosts like all these consumables we just gave you, you know? I mean, granted, it would, the smarter play would have been to be like, we're giving everyone 20 consumables to start out this time, you know, and letting everyone play around with those in like what would be a normal conquest, and then slowly like adjusting from there, making it more difficult. Or it's completely like black for me, and it's like they are so incompetent, they botched this completely, you know, they have no idea what they're doing. I'm sure the real answer is somewhere in the middle, but I just always like see this mastermind like thing executed when I like really try to think about it. But yeah, what do you guys think about the tuning? And you know, I guess a couple questions. What do you think about the tuning, like, and how they handled it, and like, I don't know, I guess kind of where we landed with this whole thing. I'll start with you, Sanjita.
Yeah, so I mean, I don't think it's like mastermind or like terminal incompetence, but it's just kind of like it's a bad mixture of a plan and poor execution. I mean, they clearly are making a play at more consumables. They're probably looking at their numbers and saying, okay, no one uses these consumables. This is probably one of our best areas for expansion, for like profit, get people to buy these. But the way they went about it was terrible. I mean, I don't think they realize everyone's going to just be raging on them. I think the way they tune the bosses, they just didn't realize. They like just pulled the kit from the pit and they're like, oh, we could produce this, what, like 75%? Sounds good to me.
Well, I want to step in here real quick on the bosses, because do you think, because I would understand that if one or two bosses were overtuned, but it seemed like every boss was overtuned, and that just seems more of an intent rather than an error there.
Yeah, no. So I do think they intended to make them harder to push people to consumables, but I don't think they realized like how like overpowered they made it, like where just people were wanting to rage quit over and over again. Because especially with like this sector one, like no one has time to build up a store of them at all from either the normal path where you're getting consumables along the way and you don't have many nodes you pick it up on. But Meathead said, like, I mean, this is just like a total PR line when he said, personally, I'm excited for these consumable adjustments. We will want your feedback. Like, I'm excited to make you only get one use out of all of them. That's the only thing that makes zero sense and is like gross incompetence to make them one battle. Like, do they think no one's going to notice? Like, clearly we notice. They should have gone the other way. They should have made them worth five battles. Then people might actually invest in them. One, like, you're only going to get it.
They should have gone the other direction. I agree. Engage more with consumables.
Exactly. The only reason I see people buying consumables is because someone made a video with a specific consumable and show that's the only way to beat something. That's the only way I would use one. Like, anytime before I saw I would look at a video like Bit Dynasty. I love his videos. Like he would use tech sometimes. I was like, not for me. I'd skip it because I'm like, hey, I'm not going to use the tech. I'm just going to figure something else out. Mm-hmm. Or a consumable. I don't know. They wanted to push people to do it, but they didn't really know how. And I don't think they wanted to make people this mad. They just didn't realize how overtuned they made it.
I think there's a difference between tuning for difficulty and tuning for impossibility, because especially, you know, if you were under seven mil or missing a GL, it became impossible for you to progress at all.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Sarah.
Well, I was just going to say too, like in line with what Sanjita was saying about like how they tuned it and then didn't tell us like that they were doing these things. And it's like how they sped up that Bad Batch node, the Datacron node in Sector 1. It's like, did you really think we weren't going to notice? Like, how many videos are there on YouTube from last season where we're like, guys, this is the best node because you can do Phoenix here, you can do clones here, you, like, all of these 40 wins, just do them on your Datacron. Like, it was so slow. And then we go and we're like, something's not right. Like, come on. It's just, I do agree that I think it was in the middle. I don't think it's genius, and I don't think it's total incompetence. First of all, this is not the way to incite people to spend. Like, pushing them to there's a very fine line that they can walk in terms of pushing people to spend and, like, frustrating the player enough that you get, like, just close enough, and you know you're just close enough, and you're like, you know what, I just need to buy this little thing here and it'll tip me over because I've got the strat down and I can see it. That's the kind of frustration you want. I don't want to go in to Jabba and on my first turn, because they all go right away and get contract before I even move, and then I have one character standing there. That's not going to entice me to spend. That literally enticed me to put my phone down for the day and be like, well, I guess I'm done here. Like, there's no point. I don't want to give you money now. I think what they are trying to do is entice us to use consumables. It's pretty obvious, just like with the discs and everything. And then I think that, and it's also pretty obvious to me that they are also trying to increase the difficulty and tweak the modifiers, because everything was changed obviously on the bosses, which is fine. And then you go through and you've tweaked the speed on the Datacron node, etc. But then you see things like, it's just to me a case of like, you don't know how to tune this, because look at what happened with the Imperial Super Commando rework. Like, you clearly don't know how to tune things, so you just push this lever way too far. And then you didn't test it. Like, this is I know that there can be a difference between like the actual live environment that we get and their dev environment at times. And I don't know if there's a way to clone our live environment and make it a dev only environment, but
there is.
Okay. I don't know enough about this, but like, clone our environment, make it a dev environment and tweak it there and then test it there. Like, that's really all it takes. And you would see on the very first go that maybe little piggy boy shouldn't be hitting Ray for 38 million damage.
Yeah, because I was like,
yeah, they need tuning beta testers.
Yeah, because I was saying you were tuning this for consumables, but were you tuning this for someone to need to use every consumable at once to beat it? Like, you know, what was the puzzle here of consumables to really get through this? And I guess, you know, some people were finding consumables to get through Jabba, but yeah, Mo, what were your thoughts?
Well, you know, it's funny, through all of this, the only thing that I think they did intentionally and worked the way they wanted it to was retuning the Bad Batch node. Because that to me is absolutely in line with things they've done previously. We don't see Night Sister Zombie anymore in a regular in regular progression. We don't see Nest anymore in regular progression. Why? Too easily exploited. So in that sense, it doesn't surprise me whatsoever that they would make that node harder to exploit. It would not surprise me at all if they, like, you know, they have somebody who forecasts these things thinks on average every player will have 20 Datacrons. Well, all of a sudden everybody has 30. Well, now they're, you know, the number is off and they have to retune that. So I'm not saying that they should, I'm not saying that was the best solution for them. I prefer it slower as well, but that didn't, that is the one thing that I think that I get, like, intellectually. Okay. But for the rest of it, like, yeah, they've clearly been pushing consumables. And I remember, I mean, I gave them feedback going, what is the point of consume the months ago on one of these surveys or whatever, what's the point of consumables? Like,
well, this is your fault. It,
with the exception of,
I said the same thing. Oh, in that, that
I mean, with the,
well, oh, with the, both of you, I mean, you guys.
You know, I can't, obviously, I can't speak for every player, and a player at a 7 million GP is going to have a different experience than a 12 million GP in terms of needing consumables or wanting to use consumables. But
even
I do know
access.
That, yeah. But I do know that mostly it seemed like people only used Frenzy Tech. And they used Frenzy Tech a lot. And to a lesser extent, Tether Tech through certain experiences. Other than that, pretty sporadic use. Certainly, I played with those two at various points. Other than that, I had used consumables usually when I was, like, done. But this before you could farm Datacron nodes and I had somebody down to, like, 1% stamina and I wanted to keep farming a node, yeah, I'll throw on this consumable because I've got it. Why not? But so, and of course, they added it into the plus pass. They added them into the plus pass and gave you a monetary ability to skip certain feats and consumables and everything else. So I don't have a fundamental issue with them wanting to sort of reorient how things work and the focus, and, you know, cool. It's all right. I would rather most game modes not stay static. Because, well, we sat through way too many of the same raid and so on and so forth. Like, we, you know, static, look at Territory War. Static is not great, but at the same time, they were just way off. Like, I lean towards incompetence more than any kind of master plan, because of all the bugs we've seen in the last, you know, 3 to 6 months. It has maybe it hasn't been, I don't know, but it has certainly felt especially egregious, and it has certainly felt much more so that they aren't testing, or I don't even think they aren't testing. Like, I know they test, I believe they test, I just think whatever they're testing for is not actually what players do,
right?
Like,
they don't have enough outside eyes on it.
I think they test.
It's been a year and a half since that leak. They need to get over it and hire a new beta testing team.
I think they test to see if something breaks the game or functions. But I don't think they test whether its function makes sense. And, you know, like, so none of those nodes broke the game, technically speaking. Like, it didn't make the client crash. So in that sense, testing successful. But but of course, you know, they were, and you know, you see the same thing with Leviathan, and we continue to see the same thing with, despite apparently a rework with Super Commando and all the rest of that. So
I was just gonna say, I think Leviathan still has a couple bugs, like small ones, but still a couple
small
in there,
ones. But mostly. If they had released Leviathan in its current state, there would not have been a lot of people, you know, complaining in the same way.
What's still broken? I think I noticed, like, fear doesn't do anything, or you still take a turn with fear. What are the other things that aren't fixed?
I feel like I was still seeing some cases where people would be dropping a battle, even though they took over the, like, when they took over the capital ship and lost or something.
I like that.
It was like the, like, all the,
oh, in GAC, that was happening to some people.
Yeah. I feel like I've still seen that after the latest patch, but I'm not sure. But it feels like there's still a couple small things in there. So what do you guys think about the make good, and or where we're at now, and or, you know, how they righted this ship, Sarah?
Yeah.
You seemed pretty jaded. Like you were like the most jaded I've heard. I mean, it's hard to tell with you, like, because you're like, I was so mad, but your great expectations, you still seemed like you were so fine. Even now you're talking this what seems to be a level head.
It's hard because especially like with great expectations, I get on Zoom with Xerath and like you just like are friendly and you have like this friendly banter for a little bit and then you record and you're in a good mood because you're hanging out with people that you like to talk to, right? And it kind of eases off like that anger. But I will tell you guys that we were both so mad that I said to Xerath yesterday, I was like, I don't know if we should actually record today because we are both so mad. And if you want to not record and wait until we cool off, we can reschedule this week and record a different night.
Are
And
you
then
sure
he
you
met.
want to be on the record saying Xerath puts you in a good mood, by the way?
Even that you're
Oh
friends, this is
man.
breaking news. No,
So I said though, I was like, if you don't want to, like that's fine. And he was like, no, we definitely should record. So but it was just so okay. I'm kind of torn on the make good because on one hand, I'm like, we knew it was broken. Like you knew after the first hour that it was broken and that things were not working as intended. And then I still chose to go in and bang my head against the wall, even though I even told my own guildies, hey guys, just stop, just quit it. Like, don't go in there and just walk away kind of thing. And then I went and,
I
did
did
what I
the same
said
thing.
not to do.
Yeah.
So I can acknowledge that I'm responsible for wasting that much energy and crystal refreshes and whatnot. The thing that I think is irritating to me is 240 energy really isn't that much in terms of a make good. And I'm not saying that in like an entitled way. I'm saying that in a you get six energy an hour when it refreshes. Maybe. I can't remember. I think it's one
I don't know.
energy every
That's
12
probably right. I think it's like every
something.
10 minutes you get one.
If it's yeah, so if it was, I did the math earlier before we hopped on, and if it was six energy every hour for 48 hours, which is being generous, by the way, because the fix was longer than 48 hours from the time Conquest went live, that's 244, 240, or sorry, 288 natural regenerated energy that you would have lost out on if you just hadn't played at all, if you just sat on your hands and waited for a fix. I went in with 436 energy preloaded and saved, waiting so that I could finish Sector 1 before I even did a refresh. My goal was to be done Sector 2 on Monday night, and 436 energy ran out before I even hit the boss in Sector 1 because I was just blowing through it so fast. And
Xerath had the same, and I think he said he went through it just trying to get through the mini boss.
yeah, Xerath messaged me just absolutely livid at the boss in Sector 3, the mini boss in Sector 3. And he was like, I don't have time for this BS. How can I beat this boss? And I was like, I'm not even there. I'm stuck on Jabba, but I'm hearing Bossk bounty hunters might work for you because of the leadership. And then he messaged me back and he's like, I got it. It took 15 tries. Like, it's just absolute. And the thing is, all of us were spending energy and trying to get to the Datacron notes because the Datacrons were going to expire and we were going to lose out on that cash and all of this stuff. All they had to do, in my opinion, to make this go over slightly better, put out a hot fix on Tuesday that extended the expiry date to Friday on the
Yes,
Datacrons.
that's all I wanted. That is the only thing I wanted.
They've done it
100%.
before.
That would have been a big a hand, a hand extended.
That's all they would have had to do. And honestly, if they had done that and then gave us this make good that we did get with 240 energy, I would be a lot more happy with it. I'm shocked there's no crystals.
Yeah, they should have given us crystals.
They should have given us crystals. People were going into the 200s and 400 refreshes trying to make their way through.
You know what it's like? It's like you were walking in a mall and someone, an employee from a store you hate, like ran out and kicked you, fell over, and then you tried to like get them to apologize, and they, instead of giving you money for your trouble, they give you like store credit to that store because they gave a bunch of consumables. And it's like, yeah. No one wants these. But it's like, oh, we gave you something. Here you go. Like, enjoy these consumables.
The problem with the consumables was like, you guys tend to value these pretty low. I mean, I know you can like, they're like 75 crystals a piece, but they're also like 15 currency a piece. Consumables are cheap. Mm-hmm. If you want to buy a hat, like, great, throw in some consumables. There's no loss to them effectively for giving us the consumables. Make us feel like you gave something up. Mm-hmm. That's not it.
It's like when the company promises like a really big bonus for everyone achieving something, and then they're like, pizza party. And you're like, this is not what I wanted.
Yeah. You're like, where's the gluten-free one? but the thing is, at the end of the day, with all of our rosters and where we are, consumables aren't really going to push the needle for us. Like, let's call a spade here. If I was a 5 million GP player, then yeah, I probably would pay more attention to consumables, especially if I was taking Conquest very seriously, trying to get Red Crate, trying to, you know, work on Datacrons, etc. Then yeah, I would pay way more attention to consumables. At honestly, 8 million GP plus, I don't think you need to pay attention to the consumables that much. And that means, in my opinion, that the game mode, because it's a 4 million GP entry, probably needs to be retailored a little bit. Which
you
isn't
think there's going to be a insane mode for like 8 million plus?
A nightmare mode.
There's code for it. It got data mined when Conquest originally entered the system. There is code for two more. There's one is called special, I think, and mm-hmm. one is basically like a nightmare mode. I mean, that's Jeez. There's also code for like up to relic 50 or something, so that doesn't necessarily mean anything,
right?
But it they could do it. There's a placeholder for it.
I don't know how you as CG look at something like what, like let's say they did want to try and push the lever a little bit. I don't know how you can realistically do that and not detach from where you are right now. Like it doesn't seem fair to us, first of all, because we're used to how Conquest runs normally, and it doesn't seem fair to the 4 million GP players who are just entering hard mode and, you know, wanting to try it, and then they enter into this gong show and are like, why did I do this? Why aren't I in normal mode? That everyone told me to do hard because it would be better, and this doesn't feel better. Like, I think you would have to make like an 8 million plus version. The thing that I struggle with that is I don't know what the reward would be to incentivize you, because I don't think you can take the character shards out of hard mode now.
Yeah. No. I mean, they could do plenty of stuff there. I mean, obviously the character would have to stay in hard, but I don't know, crystals, relic stuff, Kyra, like they know what people want. Yeah. I feel like they could do it.
Yeah, there would just have to be some kind of incentive. And then that's where I think you could easily be like, okay, this is, you know, expert level, whatever you want to call it, nightmare mode. And that's where you go and say, we're implementing this. These are going to be the rewards. FYI, this is tuned for consumable use, if that's what you want to push.
They could actually call it rage mode, and then people would have plenty of a warning.
Yeah. You know, it'd be fun if they had that version that you could do on the side, so you could still do hard, but mm-hmm. then for the people who are gluttons for punishment, you know, because you would hate, right, to like lock into rage mode, and then, yeah, like you can't get past the mini boss or something, you know, and then
there's
you're
like
just
an
like
exit ramp.
Yeah, and yeah. Then you're like, okay, well, that's it. Like, my conquest, my 2 weeks are done. I don't get to experience this. I don't get to progress. I don't maybe get the character shards that might be built into, you know, rage mode, which I really like calling that rage mode. So, yeah, that would just, because I could see, you know, yeah, exactly, having more of an option there to do that. But, you know, I feel like consumables were the problem here, and consumables being the make good feels a little bit like a slap in the face. But I was kind of in the same boat, like for a long time, just like you were saying with why does my brain do this? I was getting the consumables and I was like going on like the first two sectors. I was taking the bottom path so I could look at consumables and like make sure I had a frenzy in there available to me at some point. And then, yeah, for probably like the last two or three conquests, I haven't even just stopped doing it because it's like, yeah, who's doing, you know, those, who needs them anymore? And then it was like the stark reality of when people were like, oh, you know, I had to use these consumables and I was getting through it. But you know, now that they've tuned it back, do you feel like you are just, are you guys going to try consumables for fun? Are we still off of consumables? Like, how do they, you guys, Sanjita, Mole, I blame you too. You guys were like, what are the point of consumables? And now they're trying to make them, you know, a thing. How do you make them a thing?
Just don't, like, just do something else. Like, no one wants, like, I don't know. It's just the only thing they could possibly do for you is get you back to where you started. Like, maybe, like, if they make it harder, it's like, okay, buy this, spend extra resources to get back to square one, and that's like a recipe for bitterness. They already kind of got away with that when they increased all the feats, they increased the energy costs for conquest. They did a lot of stuff trying to like make it terrible. I don't know why they want everyone to hate conquest, because everyone loved it at first and I still like it, but like, it's just charging you higher.
Yeah,
and I guess it's kind of like inflation within the game, because I mean, inflation doesn't really affect this game too much because a vault's always been $100. I don't know. Like, it's just focus on something else. I don't want to spend conquest currency or crystals. And like, I get through it anyway. Like, the people that need them are going to get them. And the people that don't need, like, haven't needed them, don't want anything to do with them.
I mean, I'll say this. I haven't used it because I frankly forgot about it, but I like the idea of the Beskar Gideon one. Why not? Give us a way to try the new character. That actually, I think that's a nice idea. But I don't know. I actually feel a certain degree of sympathy for CG in this, because, and this gets to what Sarah was talking about, like, this is supposed to be a mode for anyone with 4 million or higher GP. That's a huge range, and that's a huge range to challenge people, even between people who are at like 8 million GP and 12 million GP or something like that. It's a significant difference. And so but you need to be able to serve all of these levels. I mean, I don't think CG is sitting around going 4 million GP players should be able to red crate. Like, I know they're not. Nobody thinks it should be easy for a 4 million GP player to do that. But at the same time, and you see this across a lot of game modes. It's actually one of the very smart things they did with the raid, where giving the raid personal levels you can play. You can define your own challenge. But with Conquest, you can't define your own challenge except for easy, normal, hard. So there are probably players for whom consumables are a big deal, and they're around the 5 million, 6 million GP range. And we're just not those people. Right. And good, I mean, you know, and those people around 6 million will in 6 months or a year or whatever be at 8 million, and they will stop needing consumables so much. It's just, and I don't know if there is a good way for CG to make it an across the board thing, except in the context of like, you have to use this consumable once to obtain this feat or whatever. But that's not really like I have you like, the, you know, I use the deployable cooling systems one once so I can get the feat. I have used it zero times because I thought it would help. Right. In anything. Like, I used it because I needed to get those 15 banners, you know, so.
It was weird too, because CG has been, ever since Conquest went out or was launched, and then since then has been kind of driving this narrative of like, we want to reward wide rosters. We want you to build your roster out. Like, don't skimp on GP. Don't like we want you to have the toys and use them, like all this kind of stuff. So if you have a player going into Conquest and they have the toys and they want to use them, they should be able to make their way through it and not necessarily need to depend on a consumable, and also not need to depend on the RNG of the disc selection to get through sectors 1 and 2. I could understand by sector 5, yeah, because you've gone through all of these sectors, you should have been able to pick up some kind of build to make work. But that kind of an RNG like requirement, I guess, in a way, is just ridiculous when you've got a wide roster going in there and that's what they want you to do. But sorry, the RNG didn't roll in your favor, so come back next month. Just yeah. Feels bad.
Yeah, you know, I feel like this kind of gets down to like, what's the point of Conquest, right? I mean, it is the people do praise Conquest as one of the best and easiest ways to get a free character, right? But the balance of that does seem that it's like, well, you wait 3 months, but you have to put in the work. You are putting in the time and the effort to get through the slog. And to some extent, it feels like the chore, you know, but that chore is worth it because then you get like this roster and advancement, and you get you know, to get this character and enjoy, you know, the progression that merits. But it seems like they're taking it beyond, like, while this is work, it doesn't, don't make it not fun either. Or don't, I mean, it's already like on that side of not fun for a lot of people. Don't make it difficult, right? Like, right. I think there's a balance here of like making it feel like work, but not making it feel difficult, right? Or really hard, you know? Like, I want to be able to just put in the time and the effort and succeed. I don't want to like have to put in the time and the effort and frustration to succeed, yeah. Right? In Conquest. I mean, it's already enough of that. And this also makes me think of this, like that meme where it's like the boss in the boardroom and he's like, guys, how do we get monetized Conquest? And the guy in the back of the room is like, what about consumables? And the player base like throws him out the window, right? So, but with that, solid. You guys, yeah, any final thoughts on Conquest? We've been on Conquest for about an hour. I think we'll call it there to be mindful of Sarah's time. She's got to down some more Rageahall and probably finish up some more Conquest, get some more Conquest videos out.
Man.
Got to redo Sector 2 now.
I have to redo Sector 2 because I couldn't finish Sector 2 properly. So yay for going back and doing it again.
Yeah, I was really like, what did content... I would be really... struggling if I was a content creator, because it's like, here's a great challenge, I can make a video about it and it's going to last for 24 hours. Like, is it worth my time, you know, for like this video that is not going to age at all? So I mean, where'd you land on that, Sanjeet? I mean, you did a couple, you didn't
I mean, I don't usually try to do that. I was just like, I mean, I got here, I feel like I felt like a lot of people might get stuck and not get there. So mm-hmm. I wanted to throw it out earlier. I didn't do anything on the Java one because I don't want to be like, hey guys, use your Afra. Like, people don't, most people don't, a lot of people don't have Afra. So I was going to do that.
I
don't know. It was really just, what was that?
I was going to say, someone said like, oh, Afra works there and I don't have her.
It's like the one tune. Oh, yeah, you're sweet. Still working on.
I know. I don't have, it's Leia and Afra. Like, that's it. And I sat there. Leia. Right. I sat there yesterday and I was like, do I just like rage gear them and do I just go rage and get her? Because like I'm sitting on all this hoarded material for Leia, gosh, and like here for the Leia Marquis. And I was like, do I just blow all this? And I'm like, no, that then I'm letting them win. Like,
yeah,
that's right.
But yeah, I will say whatever was working pre-fix should still work post-fix.
Oh, I would think so.
Right? Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. I don't see why it wouldn't. So,
Well, great. With that, Sarah, we are going to let you go. The real winners here are the listeners of UTH. Thank you for joining us and sharing your thoughts on Conquest. And we will, we'll move on without you and get learn a little bit more about Sanjita. But again, thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks, guys. This was fun. And I can't wait to hear the rest.
Yeah, get back to GL Jasper.
Yeah.
Yeah, glad you made it. Nice to meet you.
You too.
See you, Sarah.
Great. And with that, we'll get back to our regularly scheduled programming. One of the fun things that I love doing about UTH is we get to learn a little bit more about our guests and our content creators that we have on here. So to start, Sanjita, what is your GP?
I am just over 11 million.
Congrats on breaking 11 million. I just saw that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of crazy. I don't know. I thought at some point I'd stop growing at the pace that I've been growing throughout the lifespan of my account, but it just keeps going. So it's ridiculous.
In fact, once it gets up that high, and for me, it started feeling like I was growing faster.
Yeah.
Maybe all was all the relic stuff. I don't know, but yeah.
Like whenever they drop a ship, you get like 100K GP or something once you like finish it off because you already have these characters. Mm-hmm. Oh, relic, but yeah.
So we're staring at a screen of you and with a Star Wars poster behind you. But so are you a Star Wars fan? And what got you into this game specifically?
I am a Star Wars fan. I watched the original trilogy when I was really little. I was born in 93, so Phantom Menace came out in 99, saw when I was 6. I think we saw it like after it was in the theaters for a while because we were in a dollar theater. And I remember it was about my family and one guy on the other side of the theater. So we're kind of slow to it, but I loved it. I loved the Phantom Menace. I thought Qui-Gon Jinn and Darth Maul were awesome. And it really accelerated. Like me and my brother, we have some woods near us, like a little forest, and we'd cut pieces of a tree and shave off the bark. From like a lightsaber size stick and like leave some of the bark as a handle and then lightsaber. So like we were always into that. I was always into Star Wars stuff, loved KOTOR, KOTOR 2. I downloaded Galaxy of Heroes on launch date initially because I just saw ads and I was like,
whoa,
well,
really?
Also I didn't have a, yeah. I didn't have a smartphone until May 2015 after I graduated college. And I was like, I was going ham on all the mobile games. I got like Clash of Clans. I had Boom Beach. I had Fallout Shelter. I had all these mobile games. And I was like, man, this is fun. I got a phone now. I'll try out this Star Wars game. Downloaded it. And it was cool, but I was like, this stuff takes so long. Like there was a new concept to me, like the Hero Collector. And I remember Yoda came out and I was like, I can't get him. Like, what? How am I supposed to do this? I can't get the, like, shards were so hard. You know, you only had 3 attempts on a hard node. I was like, and I quit because I was like, this game's going to take like years to get anywhere. This is going to last that long. And I also got frustrated with, I couldn't reset my arena payout. So it was like at 6 p.m. It's just the worst possible time for me. And I felt myself getting like pulled into it in ways I didn't like. Like my reset was at midnight and I was like, if I went to bed at 11, I keep thinking, okay, well, if I stay up a little bit later, I can just get ahead of my galactic war. And then I can like make sure I get that done before work tomorrow. So I quit.
Yeah, when you had to play galactic war.
Yeah, we actually had to play galactic war. So I quit because like a coworker of mine that played too, he quit. And I was like, forget this. Didn't play it again until March 2019. Because one of my professors in law school played the game and he brought it up at one of our exams. He was like, oh yeah, I play Galaxy of Heroes. I was like, what? You play this? I was like, you're a respected professor. I was like,
no respectable person would play this game.
I thought it was just for like, I don't know. I didn't realize how ingrained it had become. Because back when I played at the beginning, there wasn't really a Reddit. I didn't see any YouTube for it. All I wanted to do was complain to people about how much I hated Count Dooku, and there was no one to complain to because how Dooku, he would go so slow. He'd tap dance over, poke you, tap dance back, and then tap tag. Did you guys play at the beginning?
Not for those terrible.
I've seen video. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was so painful. There were so many things I just wanted to like rage, complain about, but like I don't know. There was no online community.
I know there's a lot of pain back first year.
Yeah, it was so much like not having 4x speed was just crazy. But when I came back, I re-downloaded it and I was looking around on my old account and I saw Giant Revenant at the top of the leaderboard because it was March 2019 in my arena. I was like, they have Revenant in the game. I was like, okay, then I was back in. I tried to play with that old account for like a week and I was like, I don't think I'm getting anywhere in arena, and then started over and yeah. So
we even started with a brand new account. Cool. And that was in, and so you started a brand new account when?
March 2019, but 2019, also
so 4 years later after you started your original account. Wow.
Yeah, so yeah, three and a half years after my original account, like 3 years not playing. But in May 2020, a shard mate of mine from my arena shard resigned or stopped playing, and he gave me his account.
Oh.
So I went from a 2.85 million free account to like a spender account that was 3.9 million. And that's the account I use now.
Cool.
So I never spent anything, but I did get that nice little boost, which really kind of helped out when it didn't have any GLs, but like GLs were starting to, the prospect was starting to overwhelm me at that point. So it kind of worked out.
Well, I kind of want to ask a little side question here then, because you just started content creating in the last year. What got you, why did you decide to start doing content creation?
I was like, I want to get invited on some podcasts. I think the best way to do that is to start a YouTube channel. okay. No, but I liked listening to like watching stuff and listening to podcasts, people talking about it. It just seemed fun to discuss the game. And I just had this like itch to do YouTube or something because of all the people I watched doing it. Initially, I wasn't sure which game I'd do. I did some stuff with Age of Empires 2 because I was really into that. Tried to make some Civilization 6 videos. But then I was like, you know, the only game I play year round is Galaxy of Heroes. So I should only do that. I had first done a Grand Arena video, posted it on Reddit, and I got like 15 subs from that. And all the other videos, like, got nothing. Like, they got no traction at all. So I was like, yeah, I should just only do Galaxy of Heroes because that's what I was comparatively the best at, because I was between rank 1,000 and 500 in Kyber 1. I was like, I think I at least know enough. And I always liked Arnold videos back when I started the game and free to play and mobile gamer. And it just seemed like fun. And I was scared to do it, but I was like, you know, I just need to start. I just need to try doing it and just trying to pick up the pieces as I go and just make little improvements along the way. So it's already turned out way more successful than I ever thought. I thought I wouldn't get 100 subs, let alone 7K. So I'm just blown away by how it's gone.
Yeah, congrats on breaking 7K. That's awesome. And you deserve single one of those. I've been really enjoying your content. You mentioned a lot of other games in there. Are you playing any other games now, or is it solely GOH?
I'm playing a lot of Starfield right now. I haven't played Civ 6 in a while. That one comes back once in a while, or like kind of in seasons. I'm like, yeah, I want to play some of that. I play Age of Empires 2. It's weird. It's like I take off for 5 months and then I get it back into it for 7 months. I don't know if you know the game. It's real-time strategy. Real-time strategy is intense. It's like an esport. It's like you have to be in, you have to be on your form. And I stopped playing a few weeks ago because I just would get so mad at myself when I do poorly. Like if I lost over and over again, I was like, this is because I am doing something poorly. And I mean, I'm pretty decent at the game. I was like top 25% in Elo, but I had to stop just because I was getting too mad at myself for losing. So yeah, taking a break from that for now.
You do a good job on your GA streams, not conveying that. I think you dropped a Ray battle once, and you kind of kept your cool when you had to like adjust your whole strategy, you know, just for like, because that battle can go south, and once it does go south, it gets out of control, and you're just like, I could have played that better. Yeah, it's so frustrating.
Yeah, because I'm such a perfectionist, and like,
yeah,
at the beginning, I was like, when I made a mistake in a Grand Arena, I was waiting for comments to like call it that specific mistake. And usually that doesn't really happen too much. There's not too much negativity, thankfully. Mm-hmm. There was one Grand Arena where I played really poorly. I didn't clear. I brought like five GLs on offense, couldn't get by a Sith Eternal Emperor. And one of the first comments, though, was like, this was honestly a pretty weak showing for five GLs on offense. Pretty disappointing. And I was like, I know, I suck. It was like the first time that it was actually a comment up to my fears. But I was like, yeah, well, oh, well.
Well, on a recent GA stream of yours, a YouTube video, some asshole commented on a Leviathan battle that you dropped. And then he felt terrible about it because, yeah, you played it a certain way, knowing that the alternative strategy was there. So, but we had a nice little exchange on your video. So it actually worked out. And it was a nice little, like, prompt for me to be able to reach out to. Yeah, I was the Leviathan comment when I said you could have I think it was I was basically saying, yeah, like how to adjust your strategy on the Leviathan battle.
Were you the one where I was like, actually I couldn't have done that?
I think you were saying that was a strategy, yeah, but I didn't like go for that one. I was like, okay, great.
I didn't even realize that was you, but yeah. I mean, you
probably for the best then. It's just that guy's a total asshole. He's the worst. Yeah.
So. Yeah, I'm glad I at least responded kind of balanced. I actually like got really an I made a mistake and responded to a comment when I was really mad about something else, and I just let someone have it, and I like I actually misinterpreted their intent and I felt really bad about it. Yeah. So that's something I got to be careful about.
Yeah. As someone who I climb with the Chimera counter on Leviathan every day. So I've tested that and tested it and tested it and tested it. And I just I really have it down to a science at this point. And so a lot of times I have been trying to convey that to a lot of people, but not always welcomed. So outside of that, I'm going to take the next question since I'm already engaged here. What is your favorite game mode? Is like as if no one knew.
Grand Arena. Because it's just, I mean, it's the most fresh, and the good thing about it is we don't have to depend on the developers doing anything really correctly. It's just players figure things out and players up their game and make mistakes, and it's not just like beating your head against a wall against an unbeatable boss. Some players are just really good, and it's a nice challenge. Like I lost the last Grand Arena of the season, but I was really happy with it because it was tough but not insurmountable, and yeah, I had a lot of fun along the way. I do also like Conquest. Like I like that I actually have to play to get somewhere. But a lot of my frustrations would go away if they just increased the data cache cap. Like it's like way too low. But I do like Conquest too.
Do you have a favorite team or favorite faction?
I mean, I guess I kind of like Jedi as a faction, just thematically. And it's just a really strong one. Although Unaligned Force User is pretty awesome right now. They're just getting better and better. I don't know if I have a favorite team. I enjoy different teams at different times. I'm really enjoying Gas against Malakos right now.
Yeah, that's been working for you. That's great. And I feel like you've done a couple of videos on the Rex team. It just seems like even when you're in Grand Arena, you're really enjoying the Rex team.
Oh, that's fun. Yeah, like what you don't realize is like before every Grand Arena, I like am clock watching. I made an attempt to try to wait a little bit to try to attack second, but now I've kind of given up on that. I just want to attack as soon as possible because I have in my head, I scout my opponent. I'm like, okay, usually they set Lord Vader with this and this, and I could Phoenix that. And I'm like, at five, I'm like, okay, what did they set? Oh, they said that. Oh, I could Phoenix that. Will it work? It might not work. And I'm like, I just want to do it. I just want to rip the Band-Aid off. And I'm like nervous until I actually get in there to do it. And when it goes well, I'm like, yes, so relieving. And it's just like a weight lifted. And then when it doesn't work, I'm like, all right, well, we gotta figure this out. But it's just a lot of fun. I'm just always so antsy to just get in there and do it.
I spent a day working on my CLS counter so I could start using the Gritcron on Jabas and take Jabas down with CLS. And so, and now I'm in that same mode where it's like I just chomping at the bit to get in there and see if my CLS will continue to like beat Jabas, you know? And it's like the first thing I try each time, because if that fails, then everything has to shift. But if that wins, then everything shifts in my favor. It's like all of a sudden, what I would like, what a normal plan might be on like soft counters, everything moves into like hard counters, and it the just the whole GA gets so streamlined. So yeah, that's fun. And I don't have the Rex team. I'm right now working on my Phoenix trying to get them up. So, looking forward to bringing that, but it's just, again, like, I don't know what I'm going to do about mods. I mean, I just got Riva. I just got Malikos. I just got, you know, it's just all these teams are requiring top tier mods, and I'm just like doing my best to bring up what I
what's
can.
What's your GP? So.
I am like 10.7, so I'm just behind you, but our modding is pretty close. We both have in the 80s of 25 pluses. I was just looking at your stats.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
So, yeah, you feel pretty stretched on those.
Yeah, absolutely right now. So, yeah, it's just like, I don't know where I'm going to get another like top tier set for... I mean, for Rex, let alone like my Inquisitors are just so poorly modded. Like, they just kind of always had B sets, and I keep trying to like work them up. But like, my GI doesn't have an offensive set, and it's just really bothering me. So, I've been it's so funny too when you find gaps in your modding. Like, so I was like, oh, Riva needs a offensive health primary circle or something like that. I'm like, well, let me check my roster. I have two out of years I've been playing this game. Somehow, I only have two health primary circle offense mod. Like,
really?
How is that even possible? Yeah, and I and
you only
I
have two of this?
Only have two of them, and for weeks I've just been grinding on the offensive mod thing, and I still don't have any better,
like
six more
dot
offense.
Or any
any I have 2 6 dot, and those are the only ones, and that's it. And then I have like a third one, which is on her, which has 10 speed, and it's like I would like something that's a better, you know, secondaries and stuff on it. And so it's just so funny when all of a sudden you stumble upon like a glaring hole in your mods.
That is borderline shocking.
I have
13, like just matching those primaries and that set on the circle.
Yeah.
But only.
Yeah, I was like, how?
Six of them are 20 speed or higher. And the ninth fastest one is only 11 speed, so it's not like super deep.
Yeah. Maul, can
yeah,
I take a quick sidetrack here real quick and ask you about how you do with modding, since you keep up with all these new teams and stuff? How's that going for you?
Well, I'm actually running into problems now just with every, you know, every time a new character comes out, like, it seems like I have to remod a whole squad for it, and that's becoming a bit of a problem.
And that's the thing. It's not just the one right,
like,
now.
You know, I have only myself to blame for what I'm about to say. I realize that. But, you know, with my Phoenix was full of gold mods that had like one speed on them because I took them to gold for ships like 4 years ago or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm not saying that was smart. I'm not saying I don't look back on that with regret, but that's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's a lot of, so it's just having to go through and refigure some of that stuff out. And I mean, the good thing with that squad as an example is they don't all need stellar mods to make it work, but you know, they needed better than what I had. That's for sure. And, you know, we're just seeing, you know, I at no point have I ever considered the mods on Imperial Super Commando. As long as the gauntlet was fast enough, like I couldn't have cared less what mods he had on him. Same with Garsax. Well, now I have to care. Now and it's
you don't have to care about Garsaxon, do you?
Well, okay, maybe not Garsaxon, but I don't know. I feel like, I mean, first of all, I realize what CG thinks we should care about and what we should actually care about are not always the same thing. I definitely get that. But I don't really, I'm not really understanding exactly where Imperial Super Commando is intended to fit just yet. Let's put it that way. And yeah, there's Moff Gideon, and he would probably fit under Moff Gideon is the eventual place. But in the meantime, is he supposed to go under Maul? Maybe, but Maul, I mean, certainly with the way he's currently broken, he should go under Maul. But it, did they intend Maul to get pulled off of a Vader squad? That doesn't seem likely to me because Maul is so right. tailored to be. Anyway, it's like, again, of course, just because CG says we want Maul to stick with Vader doesn't mean people are going to keep Maul with Vader or that's the best approach. But, you know, it makes me, I looked at it and I was like, well, do I have to start caring about Gar Saxon now? Do I have to, you know, it's just one of those sorts of things. Like now it's like, well, I need Dark Side Mandos. Do I even just to have him in my back pocket if I need Candorous somewhere else or whatever? Like I have to start thinking about it.
So, yeah, that's what yeah. Calvin calls. He's like, they have pilot mods, you know, and he's just like, yeah, we all know what we mean by pilot mods. Yeah, they're like just their placeholders, yeah, to like keep the crew, you know, pumping the ship just to where it needs to be. So interesting.
So I guess the next would be, do you have a favorite character in the game?
That's really hard to say. I don't know.
Okay.
You have a
favorite
ship?
A favorite character right now. Yeah.
My favorite ship is TIE Defender. That thing is sick. I also really like Scythe. I recently did a ship ranking video and I realized like how many ships I just rank really high on the Empire squad. But they need all of them together to make it like a really functional fleet, like the Leviathan counter. But that Iden ship is so much fun to use.
Yeah, I've certainly been getting a lot more use out of it of late and just love it. I mean, that, and that's the thing, it's the win condition. You know, you've got to keep that ship going and it will get you wins in so many like areas. So that's interesting. I missed that video you said, so I'm going to have to go back and find it. So that's exciting. What character or ship would you like to see come to the game?
I would like to see a Galactic Legend from the Old Republic era. Revan Reborn is the one people usually say. I don't know too much about Satil Shan or whatever she is, but anything from Old Republic era that would fit the bill, it would be cool to me. And I think they could do it now because since Leia's out, like who else are they going to take from the original series or prequels or even sequels at this point? So I feel like they could go back there. Ships, I really want to see Yoda's ship. I mean, it was only in like one episode of the Clone Wars and he didn't really fight with it. But now that they're splitting clones, Galactic Republic with Mace, more room for Jedi Galactic Republic. So I think adding Yoda would be sick, like as a reinforcement ship.
Okay. Yeah, I guess that would make sense because, like, yes, you have to have like clone ships starting, or ideally with that kit, maybe you would want to go clone ships starting or something. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that. Yeah.
Well, actually, I mean to go with the Negotiator too, actually, because they lose Fives now, who is kind of important.
Yeah, off and on. Although I feel like Fives has kind of fallen off of what is the main comps now. A lot of times people are running like Rex or, I keep wanting to say Leia.
Ahsoka,
yeah.
I guess comps. It's always going to be Ahsoka now because Rex gets pulled off it too.
Yeah, so. Right.
Yeah.
That comp will fall off.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm excited to see where that lands in terms of if it counters anything. I mean, I guess I'm expecting it to be like a cleanup thing, but also expecting more to come.
Well, I'm weirdly skeptical of like, this fleet is going to be three clones plus Ebon Hawk and Lando's ship. Like, these are all functional ships, but it's a weird combination that does not strike me as like, you know, it's not, I don't think it's going to be beating the meta. Let's put it that way.
For sure. Well, and I thought it was funny too. I mean, just so often that it's like, they don't have their finger on the pulse. So like ships, you don't use like Ebon Hawk. I use Ebon Hawk all over the place. Like all the time. Yeah. It's a great plug and play ship.
Right.
Yeah. It's like, okay.
Yeah.
I guess
it's so useful.
Yeah.
I actually think that fleet might be kind of really annoying on defense. Mm. Like,
well, it's got to be
Marauder's kit. It's going to survive forever.
It's got to be better than Holder's Radis. Like, I just can't believe anyone in this day and age is still putting that on defense. It's just an easy, like, 73, 74 banners that you're just, like, giving away. Are there any quality of life updates you'd like to see come to the game?
Yeah, I want to see Datacron UI vastly improved. Like, even if it's just let me scroll left and right while I'm in the inventory screen.
Something so simple.
Yeah, like, let me see all the stats totaled up. Like, because otherwise you have to go into, like, Squad Arena and then click on the Datacron and look around to see, like, what you have as your totals, or, like, in Grand Arena or Territory or something. It's just, like, so clunky. It doesn't even make sense. It's like they, because you have that functionality, like, when you're selecting to use one, but I want them to increase the data cache cap. It's all about Datacrons for me. I really like Datacrons. It's just, like, there's a few real annoying pain points that I want fixed.
So you must have loved the reducing of the requirements to the 135, right?
Well, actually, I didn't care so much about that. I cared about, I loved the data cache in the shard shop above all else. Like, because what would happen before in Conquest, I would blow through the data cache from dismantling the last set. And then my development pace would just slow to a crushing halt as I either had to spend crystals on a tiny amount of data cache or farm a sector one node for a tiny amount of data cache. And I felt like two times out of three, I'd get 50K instead of 150K. And it was so bad. So I was over the moon about that. I also really liked the dismantle rate from set 8 to set 10, because they gave you a lot of Mark 2 and Mark 3 mats. But the way they reverted it back, it's trash. Like, so much data cache, which just gets dumped. Like, you waste it. And then you can't upgrade anything. Like, you have to farm it all.
Where's the balance there? The store being a lot more refreshable. The store being refreshable was a big difference as well, or refreshing on a normal, the regular cadence. So, yeah, those are great. I think it's sometimes CG doesn't do them any favors. I'm sure they probably have, like, a quality of life thing that they've been working on, and we'll probably get this, you know, like when they did the mods, you know, for a long time we were like, we need mods, quality of life update, and then they do this huge rollout where it's like this massive, like, quality of life, like they do everything at once, you know, and it's like, you know, it would be just really nice if, you know, you don't need to do everything at once. Can you just give us two things now, you know, like with, like, a regular update, it's somewhere like with the scrolling and the conglomerating the stats, just those two things would go a long way if we could just get it now, and then do the big, like, thing hullabaloo, you know, with a road ahead or something down the road with a, you know, title update. But yeah, it's long overdue just for the little things.
Exactly.
And what are you working on with your roster currently?
So this is an interesting time. I actually just recorded a state of my account video for tomorrow. I like deciding what to work on is actually pretty easy for me. It's just like, okay, what's new? I'm working on that. Like, I'm working on new marquees. That's pretty much it. I've pretty much finished most of what I want to work on, except the marquees for Leia. I'm ready for Cal. So as soon as he comes, I'll be happy about that. Need some more Omicrons for Malikos. I'm getting mixed up with Malgus, and Malikos now. Too many Mals.
It's a lot.
Too similar.
I mean, mostly them. There's like a couple, like, laggards on my account that I feel like I'm overdue to build up, like Vandor Chewy. I have it at gear 12, but I don't have dash Omicron, so I don't care too much.
Oh, wow.
I'm behind on Omicrons. I'd kind of like to build up a Tarful team or a Saw team, but can't really swing that right now. So, yeah, I'm just in a new marquee land.
And the Tarful team just seems like Bad Batch fodder. It's just really sad seeing it on defense. It's like, oh, someone really invested in this and got it down, and it looks like a great team, and then the Bad Batch, just, they don't get a turn, and it's just full banners.
Mm-hmm.
So Yeah. I guess it would be cool if that had some offensive viability for people. Want to give a shout out to your guild?
Yeah, my guild is Mos Eisley Cantina. We formerly had quotes around Mos Eisley Cantina, but now they're replaced with question marks. Every symbol was replaced. But yeah, and big shout out to the guild because I joined this guild when I was under 1 million GP in August or September 2019.
Wow.
A friend in real life actually was in the guild, and they had a minimum of 2 million GP, which back then that was like much bigger than it sounds now. They let me in when I was really low, but I convinced them because I performed really well in Grand Arena. I was like, I like top 50 or something in my lower division. So they let me in. And I have actually left on multiple occasions and came back when I realized the grass wasn't greener on the other side. Mm-hmm. Initially, I came back to them when I just wanted to dominate in Sith Raid because I was tired of these good guilds where everyone was like going ham on the Sith Raid. And I just like, I want 10. Number one every time, every mm-hmm. time. And I used to get in the tank raid, I used to get number one every time. I was so selfish in the guild. Like I would just like hog it. I would like finish the tank raid in like 10 minutes and then hop over to Sith raid before it got soloed. But now it's just a solid guild. It's grown so much since back then. It's got a great core guys. We're over 500 million now. And it's not a territory war competitive guild, but we win well over half our territory wars. And I don't have a lot of crippling requirements to be in the guild. That's probably the biggest thing. It's like, if they were trying to force me to do a bunch of stuff, I wouldn't like it. Like I would never want to join a quote unquote good guild. Cause I've been in them before. It's just a pain to me. It's not worth it at all.
Well, yeah. Congrats on, the guild, crossing that 500 million mark. That's a huge, accomplishment, you know, for, the members together. Thanks. So yeah, way to go. Mos Eisley's Cantina. So yeah, I guess, well, thank you so much. That was fascinating and opened actually a lot of extra side tangents and discussion there. But I kind of want to do just a nice little rapid fire slash like just go over some of the stuff that you have covered in your videos, you know, the stuff that's interesting to me having watched your videos and whatnot. And I thought this would be kind of a fun place for us all to start because I think we're all probably experiencing Malakos and maybe have different counters or things that we're using for it. Because you've been using the gas, and I know that the gas isn't 100% probably on the Malakos counter, but it's been working very well for you. Do you have kind of any tips or like experiences, you know, that you've been having with your gas and your consistency?
Yeah.
And have you tried other things besides gas?
Yes, I used Slicker once, but they didn't have the Omicron, so it was just a stomp. I think it would have been anyway. I also used Treya once, I think, because I didn't have my gas modded the way I wanted to. And it worked fine, but they still killed my Seer still killed my Scion, so I didn't like that. And I could, like, she almost killed my Savage. So I didn't feel super comfortable with it. I don't want to do Malgus, because when Seer is using, that team's using like armor pen or like an offense heavy thing, like they're just going to get wiped out because we don't have the thick cron anymore. And even though we don't have the thick cron for gas, I still think that the damage reduction for Jedi will be enough, and the extra offense and like armor penetration and extra damage might turn the tables too. My biggest tip is you need to remod the clones for high speed, all of them high speed. And all of them for health primarily. Like I, for years, I've had fives, protection, protection, protection. Don't care about speed. I turned that around. Tons of health, lots of speed. All my clones after Rex's bonus are like pretty fast, like probably over 300. And I think it's not consistent because people don't mod their people will have neglected their 501st for so long because you could get away with it. Like they're invulnerable while gas is up. You just need gas. He's like the monster and he just carries the team. So people have been slacking on Rex. Like people are just slacking all around. So If you invest into the health mods and the speed, which is easier said than done, like it's, you don't have that many mods to go around. It really, really improves. And I hope that it keeps going.
And have you thrown some offense on your fives as well? Besides the health and the speed there?
No, I don't care as much because okay. the You're clones are, the it's usually either Gas doing the killing or yeah. Rex with aerial advantage.
Okay.
So you're going for like Echo and Ark are still kind of nice, but really just want them to take turns so that Gas doesn't stay down very long.
That's great. Well, how's your experiences been with Malakos? What have you been using?
The first week, I think it was the first week, I actually tended to use Leia. I didn't have her ult, and I didn't really, even though I didn't really want to start messing, like attempting other GLs necessarily in the middle of GAC without her ult. Although in retrospect, I could have beaten some of them, but so I figured, Leia. All right, that's fine. Mostly I've used other GLs though against Malakos. It has just worked out that I've been able to use C or JMK or something just based on my opponents.
Okay, great. You know, Sanjeet, I don't know if you would, but I mean, someone, I look forward to someone doing it because the Treya counter has seemed to be a player favorite. But I don't know if I'm misplaying it, but it is not working for me. The first time I used Treya, I isolated and I brought in Savage. And maybe again, there's like factors here that are not working in my favor, but I isolated Malakos. But then KRU got taunt, and then it was just KRU counterattacking Savage getting full turn meter, Savage having to attack KRU counterattacking. And so I timed out. Like, I got a couple kills, but I just timed out watching them play patty cake for 5 minutes. Granted, I mean, I still got like the dispels in, and I'm sure there were so many misplays in there because I'm sure I could have managed him better and then gone from there. But again, that was like the first time I was trying that counter. And so then having like learned my lesson, I was like, okay, I saw someone else do it. I'm going to isolate KRU this time. So then I can go and I can kill Malakos, right? And then Malakos got off his first special, which is like the rocks before, which he used like second or whatever the rocks. He used that as a second special, but he got to that before Nihilus got to his ultimate and just like destroyed my team. My whole team was gone. So that was just like a complete wipeout. Yeah. I was just like, okay, I am done using Treya for this counter until I like remod or figure out what the heck is happening here. But I have been then, knowing that, I've been pulling my Malgus off of defense and using it, and it just wipes the floor. It's not even close. There's like no way to misplay it. It just annihilates that team. Wow. And they just can't do anything about it. So I've really been enjoying that, and so I think that's, and but you know, now that I was like saving Treya for like that counter essentially, and Treya was so good against a couple of the counters, like if someone puts Riva down, I might have to do that. But if Malgus is taking up that spot now, I'm considering I could probably put Treya down on defense, and like her team is, I think, arguably better than the Malgus team on defense at this point.
It's better.
Yeah. So that might be like kind of a fair trade. So I'm playing around with that kind of for my next GA season. So hopefully no opponents are listening to this right now, but you know, I think that'll be, I'm kind of looking forward to that trade, quite frankly, right? Cause it's going to be in my favor. Yeah. And so, I just had a lot of fun using the Malgus counter, but I'm not as cool as Mole getting to use GLs. So.
Well, I'm not saying that that's the best long-term strategy.
Yes, sure.
It's just worked out that, you know, towards the end of it, you know, the Seer squad is one of the last squads I'm taking down, and I have a GL or two left, so might as well use it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you'll regret putting Treya Savant. That team on defense is, in my opinion, way more valuable than Gas. That's why I like using Gas instead, because I don't feel like I get too much out of Gas on defense. And then if your opponent has, if your opponent doesn't have Cal, then Malgus is still amazing. Even if they do, I still see people lose plenty with Cal against when they're trying to like really skimp using Cal against Malgus. So I really want Malgus and Trey on defense. So that's why I don't like the thought of pulling them for this year team.
Cool. But yeah, I guess speaking of GLs, and I have been seeing this more and more, but speaking of like a trade-off, people are starting to pull LV for offense, and you did actually quite a bit of work and quite a bit of testing refining your strategy on countering Jabba with Lord Vader, and it goes really smooth for you now. I mean, watching you do it, it's like, should I be trying this? So yeah, can you talk a little bit about that counter and the things you learned that are making it so smooth for you?
Yeah, so I'm guessing you didn't see my video from today, or like
not
my
yet,
last screen
no.
Right? Because
okay,
I lost with that. Because they had an amazing chrysanthemum, modded it for tenacity, and it also had tons of protection. So basically, it was a great chrysanthemum because I didn't land that buff immunity for the first special, and like there's plenty of times where I don't land it, but like you get multiple chances because Maul's like fury special applies buff immunity, but he kept resisting over and over and over and over again. I never got it on, so I was always stuck behind him. So it took a lot longer, and then I timed out with the Jabba and chrysanthemum there. So that was a pain. But when they don't have tenacity, it's so smooth. You just use that first special instead of like the intuitive thing is just to AoE every time. AoE. Always want to do your AoE if it's available. But if you do the first special, you're not getting much ultimate charge. But if you land the buff immunity, you can dispel with Maul's first AoE. And then you can just fully unload on Boosh. And Jabba's strength is not in the bombs or the thickness or anything. It's in how slow the animations are. Because Boosh throws a bomb. And then she's like, you know what? That was a pretty nice bomb I threw. Sits there and admires it for a second. And then throws another one. And then there's a delay. And Lando does the same thing. Once he has his buff where he shoots twice, he shoots. He's like, yeah, that was a good shot. And then he like takes a second to pause and then he shoots again. And it's just like, it's so fresh. Like, I hate that I lose based on like animation speed. Like, that's just the most frustrating thing. But like, because I used to do it on auto. I was like, oh, this takes too long. I just need to like go, go, go. But no, it's worked way better. And like, Lord Vader on defense, there's so many things that just crush it out. Like Phoenix just like rolls over. It's just like a team that was like trash before. And there's ways to stop it. But then, I don't know, you kind of can open yourself up to like Bounty Hunters 2 has been around forever. So there's a lot of cheap options, which is why I like it for offense.
That's what I've really been enjoying, because kind of seeing these shifting of offensive teams going to defense and defensive teams going to offense and stuff like that. And the play around that we're seeing now with these new compositions and teams like entering into the field. So if you find like, are you going to be checking chrysanthemum tenacity going forward? So you won't necessarily like use that counter on a tenacious chrysanthemum.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to be checking that like in the scouting phase and kind of decide off that. But I mean, Joe has always kind of been a tough cookie to crack.
Yeah, Mole, you consistently still using LV on defense, or
no? I stopped using him on defense a while back.
Also in that party. Where are you?
I like
using
him on offense. I mean, against Jabba, but also just to keep, he is so good against so many squads. If you happen to have him left over, he'll solo or close to solo all kinds of stuff for good banners. I mean, boo-hoo Lord Failure. I mean, we've all heard that nonsense over and over. He's a great character. Like, I understand he's not perfect, but he's a great character, and he can do an awful lot. He pulls a lot of weight. So,
and then do you guys always reserve then, if you're pulling your Lord Vader for offense and knowing that he may solo or have, you know, the upper hand on offense, are you able to slot Maul anywhere, or does that ever become into play in terms of using Maul somewhere without LV?
There are times when I forget about Maul. seriously, there are there are times when it's just I didn't need him that round.
Yeah.
That happens. Now with Imperial Super Commando, he's gonna, at least unless they, I mean, if they need to rework that reworked rework, I mean, at the moment, he can destroy so much under Maul.
Yeah.
Or Maul can destroy so much with Imperial Super Commando that if I can run Maul without Lord Vader, I'm going to do that. He's going to beat the hell out of something. So
yeah, in 3v3, I mean, if you get a fast Maul, you can probably do some good work with just Maul, Candorous, and ISC. Because I did test it, like,
I was gonna
this, on this podcast. I was trying to see how much damage it did, because people were talking about Super Commando. He still does a lot of damage. It's just they made it you have to have Dark Side Mandalorians or Empire, so you can't use like water or anything to cheese. But they still do a ton of damage with that true damage.
Okay, this is a great spot to throw the ISC rework topic in here, because they showed what the new language, but they didn't show what the old language was for the old language. So I guess specifically, I'm not super clear on what was changed with the second rework. Is it just those two things, or did they affect the offense at all? It seemed like the rework first one had like a ramping offense in there, and now my interpretation of the second rework of what they came out with today doesn't have the ramping, but I didn't. And they'd like just restricted it to it's only going to be a flat offense based on buffs. But maybe, again, I'm sure someone's like making that video right now.
I think the only change is the clause, if all allies were Darkseid Mandalorians or Empire at the start of the battle, because I just pulled it up and they separated it into different paragraphs, which kind of makes it harder to track with my eyes, but it looks like that's the only difference.
Okay, so no changes on the offense. That still is potentially an offensive powerhouse.
I mean, the offense itself, I didn't really care. It's literally just the true damage. Like, and it's I don't know damage. If they you're changed right, right. the true I damage yeah. number.
Yeah.
But it was like 250% of their offense they did for their hits or something.
I mean, a few hours ago, Arnold posted a video about the patch, the big update today. And among other things, he showcased him taking out a JMK with that Maul.
Okay, still works.
Seems to work. It seems to be doing a little less damage, but not enough less to make that not work.
Interesting reaction then, an adjustment to come up with the initial reactions there were, it was like my impression was this is the Qui-Gon thing all over again. Like we get a Qui-Gon, you know, Omicron, and all of a sudden it just defeats GLs, right? ISC gets a rework and it's just immediately eliminating GLs, we're going to see a knee-jerk reaction where they're going to make it so he's not a GL killer. But I'm so surprised to hear that didn't happen.
Yeah, I am surprised. I thought they were going to nerf that into oblivion, but all these like GL killers coming out of nowhere, it's been happening. Like Rex, but at least Rex is mostly gated behind Omicron for like Lord Vader and stuff, and he has a Datacron right now, but Imperial Super Commander doesn't even have a specific Datacron, and there's no Omicron. It's just literally overpowered to a ridiculous degree. I liked Calvin's video because he showed like he hadn't even changed anything. He had like a gear 12,
and, like, I watched that live.
Didn't use like Omicron, didn't upgrade the new ability. It was just insane, just gunned down Leia.
It was a really fun stream because he was like, my opponent has GL Leia. I'm really hoping it's on D. And he's like, I'm really hoping it's on the back wall. I'm saving ISC just in case. My gear 12, crappy, whatever. And then, and he got there. He was like so excited. And it did exactly what he wanted. He didn't have anything for GL Leia. But he could two-shot it as long as that Maul ISC comp, which he saved specifically for just gunning Leia down. And it worked so beautifully, and he was just laughing, he was cackling, it was so funny.
Man,
he couldn't none of us could believe it worked. It was so great. So really cool when that plan came together. Well, great. Well, I guess the top tune now, I guess all my resources are going at ISC as soon as the stream ends. So
I mean, all you really need is like Relic 3 so you can get good data crosses on it. That's what I did. I was gonna do one, but in that regard, I kind of like blew past the 135 you asked about that, but that actually is pretty nice. Like only having to take a character to Relic 3 to make them work with good data crons, because it's so much fewer resources and signal data.
So have you already relic'd your ISC like as of the first rework?
Yeah, I did it like 2 days ago, because I don't care too much about like going to Relic 3. I just wanted to play with it. I went over it in the video that's coming out tomorrow, but okay. This might surprise people. I'm pretty slow to like catch on to things I didn't notice on my own. Like I don't watch as much YouTube or consume as much content as I used to, because I'm like pretty busy with like making it. I don't
sounds
watch
like you
as
made
much
spend
YouTube.
A lot of time making it, yeah.
Yeah, I don't watch as much YouTube as I used to on the game. So I like hear things about stuff, but it's more about reading. And then like when I finally get around to watching something, I'm like, oh, I want to try that. So I like finally watched videos on like what he did. I was like, oh, that's insane. I want to try this.
Mm-hmm. Well, so real quick, this is actually a good spot for me to ask this question. Because I was wondering, because you're Good, Bad, and the Ugly. Datacron video came out. Excellent. Mm-hmm. I highly recommend people check that out. It's a great way to digest the Datacrons. But like, how long did that take you to like record and put together? I mean, because it just seems like the amount of work that goes into parsing them all out and then creating the slides and then going through, making the actual video.
Yeah. So like the actual recording part is pretty quick. I mean, it's not it's not much longer for actual recording than the actual footage. I just kind of, I record in snippets. I'll record like a few minutes at a time, like each frame you're seeing, like before I change the frame, I'll like record, stop record. I don't do a big block and have to edit it. And that helps get down to editing time. The biggest time consuming part of the Good, Bad, and the Ugly is just putting the presentation together. Cause I got to copy or like snip clips from the game and organize it and then try to like set that up. The thinking about it, it just like kind of comes naturally. Like as soon as that post comes out, I'm always excited to like look through it and think, oh, what could I do here? And I am not the best theory crafter on it. That's why I don't try to say as many specifics. I'm like, oh, this is gonna be amazing. Because do you guys know Tom Ford, the player? He has like a pretty low GP, but he like dominates in Grand Arena. I like reached out to him because I saw some pretty crazy combinations he had, and he sent me a video of using in set 9 the buff grant level 6 from Sith. He was like, this works with, and it's like I don't know if it was a trade secret, but it works now. He's like, this buff works for Emperor's Trap. So we ran like Palpatine, Mara Jade, yet like Ninth Sister and someone else, and he looped like a Galactic Legend. I forget which one it was, but it was like, it just blew me away. I was like, I never thought of that. That's insane. Oh, it might have been Jabba. Yeah, it was Jabba. Like, and he got his Emperor's Trap so high, but Palpatine was going on infinite loops with all the shock and all the buffs given out. And I was just like, there are things like that I'm never going to think of. So I just try to lay it out there. Like, I think this is good and has potential. I don't think this is good at all. And I get bad. I make bad calls. Like I think Wedge, I might be wrong about, like I said, Wedges was bad because it's Wedge, but he'll be nice in 3v3 with Han and Chewie, and he might be great with Mon Mothma. And I can't see all that coming, but I just try to give my best thought of like, yeah, this one's good, this one's not so good.
Yeah, the first impressions are always really hard. I mean, maybe for the nuance, right? When you have to dig a little deep. So if we were just kind of talking about GL Leia, and I know you've faced them, but I want to start here with Mulpoki, since you have her and probably have also potentially faced her. Can you kind of share what you're experiencing with your GL Leia?
Sure, I faced her once. And it was non-alt. And I used, I don't remember who, I used another GL on her, and it was fine, but it was not unexpected. You know, as Pico Burrito likes to say, she should never be on defense.
Yes.
I don't know if I believe him actually. But she is, while she is not the defensive pushover that CG seemed to imply.
She seems amazing on defense, quite frankly.
She is still pretty good on defense.
Yeah. I mean, just even so, her solo, I watched someone go through four or five teams just trying to take her out solo, and she's so thick. It was like oh, I can't believe that this isn't countering her. It's not like it was a B team. You know, they were trying.
Right. On offense, I haven't had her ult for very long. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I guess no one has, but within that context, I haven't had it for very long. She's awesome. She's also very interesting because she's one of these ones where you, like, without Drogon and R2, she is not useful. Not really. I mean, obviously she can, like, yeah, she's not useful. She especially Drogon, but she needs she needs her crew with her, or she is definitely has been kneecapped. I don't know. It's such a weird squad because, like, in my experience, and I think this is going to change over time, but the fourth and fifth characters are surprisingly irrelevant.
Yeah, they don't even seem to matter.
I mean, having, now that I've fooled around with her in squad arena some, like, I can definitely say I'd rather have a Jedi tank than a non-Jedi tank, like stuff like that, which is built into her kit, so that shouldn't be a shock to anyone. It's so weird how much her squad beyond the R2 and Drogon just doesn't seem to matter, just as long as there's somebody there.
Wondering if we're going to start seeing her used as an undersized squad.
Listen, she's an awesome character. I think they knocked that kit out of the park. I think it's cool. I think it's a smart kit. I think she's beatable, but I think she beats an awful lot of teams and does interesting stuff. I think, you know, you can think it's a good idea for them to have invented a new character out of thin air or not, but I think Drogon is a great character. Like, I actually think he has an interesting kit. I think, you know, the way R2 fits in with him, it gives a character who has really sat on the bench for years now some really important functionality. I think they did a really good job on her.
I was really interested to hear you say about the Jedi tank, because I was almost feeling like Baze was bringing a little bit more to that as a tank, just with, like, you know, buffs and speed gain and ability to taunt again, because it just seems like a lot of times when I see, like, old Ben on that team, he kind of just stands there, but it isn't.
And it's true. That is accurate.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Old Ben, look, you can maybe, depending on who he's up against, get him to drain some turn meter and put some ability blocks on. But if you're up against an opposing GL squad, that's only going to take you so far, if it does anything at all.
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing. He's just kind of there. But I've tried Baze. Now, admittedly, the modding on my Baze is not stellar. Up until, say, a couple weeks ago, why would it have been stellar? There was no reason for me to have it particularly just good.
Why?
Just why? But nonetheless, he's, you know, I have found the non-Jedi tanks, if the AI wants to focus on them, the AI can actually take them out fairly easily. Mm-hmm. With it, whereas the Jedi tanks, because of the bonuses they get, it's not as bad.
They're just there for the bonuses. Sanjita, what are you experiencing with them? You've run into a couple on defense, and have they been giving you complications, or, you know, what's your experience?
I mean, I only ran into the one Leia.
Oh, just defense. The one. Okay, I thought you'd seen more than just the one. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there aren't too many out there, honestly.
Yeah, I would love to see the stats on how many people are putting her on D and how many people are putting her on O.
Yeah. I mean, I think it was the right call to put her on D to start, just when, like, there's no data on it.
Yeah.
I only used JML the one time, and I just marked her and gunned her down. But I had, like, plus 72% protection on my Datacron. And she did have, like, thick Kron. So luckily there's protection again on set 11. So hopefully I get a good protection Kron, and that'll be for my JML. And Won't be a problem if I come across her. But JML is really useful, honestly, to me, no matter what, just because, I mean, you can beat JMK, Lord Vader. The only thing you really can't beat with him is Jabba or Sith Eternal Emperor. So I think he gets a lot more flack than he deserves.
Mm-hmm. By the way, so I'm looking on SWGOH. There are just under 1,800 battles with Leia on defense for the last season.
Mm.
Which tells me that most everyone who had Leia put her on defense.
Right.
Because there just aren't that many, and they're worth it. Yeah. So I suspect there were very few with her on. Oh, actually, I'll look it up on how many were on offense. But yeah.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah. While you do that, I am going to move on to the next question. One of the things I am starving for, just starving, is territory war gameplay. I just feel like it's a huge hole in a lot of areas in the game. There's like Omicrons and things active, and I understand people want to keep strategies, but it's like, yeah, we've seen, you know, the Poggle Omicron's been in a while. Can someone just release a video on every counter for that Omicron, or, you know, every counter for the Droideka Omicron and things like that? I think Sarah did say that he is going to start doing a series like that, but it's just really refreshing, like, that you started just kind of doing videos of you playing TW, and I just love it. I wish more content creators would just share, you know, their gameplay in TW.
Yeah, well, I mean, I appreciate that. I kind of thought it wouldn't be good just because, like, no one else really did it. I was like, well, I guess no one does this because there's not really a desire for it. But I was like, you know, it's fun. I prefer the videos where I'm actually just playing the game instead of like trying to come up with a conversational topic or something. So I was like, this will be pretty easy. There's not too many. And I asked my guild leader, I was like, would you mind if I did this? And he's like, no, but I'm really glad you asked. So yeah, go ahead. There was one opponent that got annoyed at, that really annoyed at me for showing their defense. It was a guild in the like Shadowlands Alliance or something.
That's probably also a sensitivity actually, of people making these bids.
Yeah, like, because you're showing their defense. So it might be some kind of social contract, but like, my guild isn't a bunch of tryhards. So we're not like in the gauntlet or whatever they call it. Like, oh, we're special for territory war. So they're not too worried. It's not like we have a lot of trade secrets. There was like one counter that they were like, don't show this, or like, don't show in a video. And I'm like, guys, I don't even think that's a good counter, but okay. So I, as far as like providing answers, like, oh, here's all the ways to be Droideka Omicron or Poggle Omicron, I don't know if I'd even be able to do that unless I'd have to rely on like people feeding me footage, which, it, you know, it's not, that's not too bad. Like, there's enough of a network there where that people would be willing to. But yeah, it's just, I mean, it's fun. Like, I like just playing the game and doing a video on it, and they take a long time. And I think another reason people don't do it is because how sporadic it is. Like, I try to be available when it starts and record for a few for a little bit, like under an hour usually, and then you're just sitting there waiting, like, okay, did we break through that wall yet? No.
Next section. Yeah. When's,
check an hour later. Still stuck. Same. Yeah. There's like two Jabbas left and we haven't gotten through. So I can understand why not more people do that, but I'll do it.
When your guild fought my guild, Excelsior Order, I'm in with Sarah and Zareth.
Five
weeks ago or something. We were thrilled to be on, like, is his video up yet? Is his video up yet? Because I mean,
great.
Well, you know, it's not a perspective we see. I mean, even though, you know, it's not like your counters are magically somehow way different than our counters or whatever, but but you know, we were delighted to take a look.
Oh, that's great. I'm glad to hear that. Yeah, I was happy because Zareth and Sarah both commented, and they're positive. Because after the Shadowlands thing, I've been mainly doing an anonymous just in case they get mad at me for showing their defense. But yeah, I tried to pick on Zareth when I could, his teams or Sarah's. Yeah. I didn't get to too many of Sarah's, but And you know, it's such a vast game mode, you can't cover it all. I mean, it's only one person's perspective, like you can't really see. And I'm not sharing my guild's defense too, so it does feel really limited in scope, but at least it's something. So I'm glad you guys liked that.
Edit it in a way that was like just showing the battle and you weren't necessarily showing like the board, you know, even so then it's like, you know, it wouldn't necessarily say that like, oh, this is like a whole section of this or something. It's like, oh, obviously, yeah, I'm gonna face a Java maybe, or I'm gonna face like
I don't really want to do that though.
Okay, yeah,
I think I don't know. You gain just, something,
yeah, sensitivity, yeah,
yeah. I mean, and sometimes I like don't care. We got sandbagged, and I just showed who they were because I was like, "You guys definitely sandbagged us. I don't care about their strategy."
Right.
And I mean, as it is, you know, certainly playing where you guys are and where we are, like, which is to say, not in the Shadowlands, Maw, whatever the Hector. Like, if you're going up against a Jabba, I can already guess it's probably a whole zone full of Jabbas. If you're going, like, most people, I know there are probably exceptions to this, but it's a pretty safe bet that if you're going against one of a particular squad, that whole zone is that particular squad, or maybe it's one of two or something, but you know.
Yeah, the high level for sure. Like a lot of the walls I see are just a mixed bag of random junk. It's kind of funny.
And the last video I just want to touch on real quick here, which I really enjoyed. I mean, some people cut their teeth on these types of videos like Darth Loquitur, but you did a State of the Account video a little while ago, and then it sounds like you teased you have a new State of the Account video coming out tomorrow. Yeah, I just really enjoyed you doing a look back at what was, you know, a year in your gameplay, and you just moved up 2 million GP and the tunes you acquired. And I just thought that was a kind of a really fun perspective where it just kind of made watching your video, it made me think about like my last year of progression, you know, and that was just really relatable. And so, yeah, I just wanted to give a shout out to what I thought was a great video there. And I guess I'm looking forward to quite timely if you actually were making something fresh.
Yeah. No, thanks so much. I appreciate that. I have to give a shout out to Dialar's Twilight Tactics because I took that idea directly from him. He had been retired for a while, so I figured it was fair game. But I liked watching him do that. He would just look around at his account. He didn't. At first, he did it just on his phone, I think. Like, he didn't have his camera or anything, just showed. And I was like, why do I like that? Like, when I used to watch that, I was like, why do I like this? He's just look like meandering around his own account. But it was compelling to me. So when I started doing YouTube, I was like, I want to do that too. And it's a lot of fun. Like, just because there's all these developments we make over whatever time frame, weeks or months, and you feel good about them, but you don't always get to share them. So I just feel it feels great that I am able to share them, and that enough people like to tune in and see that too. So that's a lot of fun.
Your last one was kind of a single year retrospective. If you have one coming out tomorrow, want to give a little tease on what we might see there?
Yeah, so the thumbnail is like a few of the recent R9 bumps I've made. I feel like I've just been doing a lot of R9s.
Oh, wow.
And they've been really enjoyable, and just, I mean, kind of talking about that. It's kind of funny because, I mean, I recorded it before the Make Good, before the Light, like all this news we had this evening. So a lot of time, stuff can happen so fast in this game. I feel like it might seem like I just ignored things that had already happened, but it's because I recorded it like a day before. I talked about how I bumped up Imperial Super Commando. I did a test run battle in Squad Arena. It didn't go well because it was like a Reva Grand Inquisitor squad. But yeah, it's just fun, just like poking around and going over recent stuff.
That is great. Well, with that, I think we're going to move on to the next section. We're going to start running the show down. We're going to finish off with our Bantha in the Room and our I Love You, I Know
segment. Before you do that,
Mom.
Can I just mention, so it's about 1,000 Leos on offense. And so, and about 1,800 on defense total.
Oh, okay.
Total battles over the season.
I forgot. I should have checked in. Yeah.
Oh no, no worries. Nice. I suspect those numbers will start shifting towards offense. But yeah, for now,
let's put a signpost on that. Next time we record, I'm going to ask you for an update on those numbers.
All right.
Yeah, because everyone does like the meta stuff, and it's just like I feel like meta segments are like so outdated, because it's always ships don't come out often enough to like care about a meta report. It's like, yeah, it's obviously Leviathan or whatever's countering Leviathan are going to be the two meta things, and Arena doesn't matter now, and I don't know. Anyway, that's a side tangent, but that'll be fun to keep track. I want to see. Sure. I want to track. Yeah, Leia's offense and defensive uses. So, Bantha in the room, just something a little bit negative, what's grinding our gears in the game. For me, it's, yeah, the MK2 Datacron mats, just the pain point that is those. I understand that you have to have, a frustration mechanic in every upgrading system, but with those, it just really seems like unnecessary that the MK2 mats are the only mats unavailable with shard shop currency. To be one thing, and then let alone the fact that they just reduced the conversion rate. So that's mine. I'll leave it at that. Mol, you want to throw one out there?
Well, you know, I have a suspicion I said this last episode.
Yeah.
I don't remember, but it's just bugs.
Yeah. Well, there are new bugs now.
There are new bugs, but I know software development isn't easy. I do not in a million years expect a bug-free product, because that's not a thing.
Yeah.
But boy, has CG really shown that they're not testing, or they're not testing well, and they're making a lot of, it seems like they're making a lot of obvious mistakes. There are bugs that are not necessarily obvious, and I can appreciate that. And I know that they'll say, and I agree with this, like, 10 people in a room testing this for 2 days is way different than thousands of people testing this over even 5 minutes.
Yeah.
I agree. Like, once you release it to the player base, stuff's going to come out. But like, how did they not know Imperial Super Commando is beating the hell out of GLs? Like, that's an obvious, there's a lot of things that it's obvious to players, but not like, it should be obvious to everyone. It's really weird.
What's crazy is when like someone who's testing it on the very first test that a player does, they do the most obvious thing, right, that you could possibly do with whatever the thing is that they're like trying out, and then it's like obvious bugs, and it's like, how are you missing trying the most obvious thing when it's obvious on the first try?
And I do believe they test. I genuinely what they're testing for is an utter mystery to me. Genuinely, I don't know what it is. And I talked about this, before. I think they're testing to see if this thing breaks the game. I don't think they're testing to see if it makes sense for the game. Or, so does this thing not crash the client on iPhones? Great, it's good. Let it out. It's the only thing I can think of. I don't get it. So anyway, that frustrates me a lot. And it seems like, especially in the last few months, there's been a real uptick. So
they are getting more consistent at being inconsistent on these bugs.
Truly. But also, like, the IC rework's a head scratcher to begin with, because it's like meant to fill this need that makes no sense. They're like, oh, well, we want people to be able to use their Beskar Gideon in Grand Arena, so let's put them with Mandalorians. And it's like, yeah, people don't need their Maul. And then they rework Imperial Super Commando just under that premise to stick Gideon with Mandalorians, which makes no sense. And like, are they already conceding that team's like is terrible without his Omicrons? I don't know. It's just kind of very odd.
Yeah.
But as my gears, I put down just kind of the stuff we talked about for the first hour of the whole first hour. Conquest, mini boss difficulty. I mean, I added this to our agenda before we got the fix, quote unquote. But really, the Datacron does dusting too soon. They need to increase how much data cache we can have. 30 million is too dang low, especially if they're going to just flood us with data cache and nothing else for a set dusting. They need more ability mats. Set 10, they had the perfect balance. But now that we're back to the old formula, you're going to have a mountain of Mark 1 mats, a mountain of Mark 3 mats, and then no Mark 2 mats. And there's no true way to balance that.
You know, I think it's interesting that, you know, you don't want to see these bugs have an effect on the player base where it comes to like a fever pitch, like it did in the last 2 days, you know, where it everyone is feeling the frustration to an extent that, I mean, Reddit always like explodes with vitriol, but it really seemed like it was probably, I don't know, like a top, like they were getting to like the top levels of like player frustration, right? They were like hitting the red in the last 2 days. And it's like, you don't want to see them getting to a point where they're spiking out, you know, because of these bugs or something like that. Because I think we all do give them somewhat of the benefit of the doubt and have some understanding, but yeah, it shouldn't quite go like we experienced this week. So yeah, I feel you guys. And then it has, yeah, consequences like on the Datacrons and everything else, you know, that affect all the other aspects of the game now, because Datacrons are everything, you know, everything and everywhere. But with that said, it is time to get positive with our I Love You, I Know segment. Now, I felt a little bad. I was a little bit negative last time we did this show, and I actually skipped the I Love You, I Know. I didn't have anything, but I have been so happy with the game lately, you guys. Oh my God, there's so much stuff that I've really been enjoying. I actually had to like narrow it down to a couple of things I'm like happiest about. I probably could have had more in here, but I just wanted to do a couple bullet points. I completed all the quests in the game, and I actually posted this on the HNN server.
Whoa. Congratulations.
That's awesome. Pretty impressive.
Right? So cool. So it's something nice that I really enjoy, just having fun, you know, on like side times, you know, as a completist. It was just kind of a fun thing to take on. And yeah, no more quests. Did them all. I've got all of those little quest portraits and those amazing rewards. but yeah, you're definitely not doing it for the rewards, but it really is a, you know, when you're doing the gratification of this game, I will say it's one of the things that has given me the most gratification, because, you know, it is one of the most difficult things. And I even feel like I prompted a little bit of interest amongst the HNN community of other people being like, okay, I guess I'll try. And then them being like, God damn, 500 contracts. Like, this is ridiculous. Yeah. And then they're like, yeah, this awful, is why no one does this. Yeah. So you really do have to be a little bit of a glutton for punishment, because there are the times where it's like, yep, okay, the challenge finally came out that I can get these contracts, and I'm just going to spend the whole day like just enter auto. So anyway, that's all done. And I loved every minute of it. No, kidding. But did love having Undone. I unlocked Reva this week, which was huge for me. Such a relief. Again, nice. It's been such a frustration point for me. Getting to that point, and I'm just so glad that is over now. She's a great character, and I really look forward to everyone getting her that may be coming up on unlocks and whatnot. So that's great. And then lastly, I got to play HNN listener on the HNN server, and we did it live in the voice channels, and it was so cool. I mean, it was just like you guys were saying, Mole, where you get to like see how your defenses play out, you know, and you're like so excited to kind of see what the opposite side looks like. So you never get to see that side of stuff. And yeah, we actually did it like half at night and then half the next morning. And I feel like having gone through that experience, actually learned a lot, because I got to bounce some ideas off of like how I play stuff, and some areas where I'm like, you know, I do it this way, but I kind of question it. Like, what do you guys do? And there's like three or four other people in the channel. And yeah, I feel like Taco learned a couple of modifications to his gameplay based on stuff that I do, and I learned a couple modifications to like stuff that I do based on what he was telling me. And I just feel like everyone won, you know, in nice. That server. It was just a great time.
But and, who actually won?
I did. Yes. Well, actually, so Taco won won the first half. He had a 12-point lead, and then he set the FU defense on ships. So he had Leviathan, Profundity, and what's the third one?
Executor.
Executor.
Executor, thank you. And I always say stuff to counter those three. And he just got the worst RNG. He got, it's interesting. It was so funny to like watch, but he got the worst dodges at the worst times. Mm. And he like dropped, I think, two battles on my executor that were just solely because of like a dodge, and ended up, yeah, winning that. So big shout out to Taco though. The winners were both of us. So, yeah, just had a great time on all of that. And so I look forward to that, the next person that might reach out and I get to experience that, like you guys do, or like you kind of do. Do you kind of get that, Sanjito, where people reach out to you and show you your defenses when you play GA at all?
Yeah, I mean, people will reach out to me in the in-game chat a lot more and just say, hey, thanks. My last opponent told me that they had trouble on like two of my squads, and I was like, well, I appreciate you telling me that, because you one-shot everything and it seemed like you just waltzed through. So
yeah, or it'd be cool to be your opponents, because your opponents would get to watch your stream and get to kind of see what their teams were like. So yeah
that's where it's a lot of fun.
Mole, you got an I love you I know?
Well, GL Leia, but I already kind of talked about that. The other thing
is, get it. You're so in love with her.
Oh, what's not to like?
Yeah.
But I'm actually like the catch up bundles that got announced today. I actually think they're very good for the long term health of the game.
Super cool.
I think if I was brand new getting into this game, it would be so daunting. There's so much stuff going on, so many characters, so many pulled in all sorts of different directions. And I think that if CG can make efforts, like, I have no doubt, I would not be at all shocked if the number of players leaving the game outstripped the number of people joining the game, which is not unusual for a game of this age. So that's fine. But I think efforts they can make to keep the game going and keep people interested and keep new people engaged, I'm all for it. I think it's great. So
that's awesome. And I believe, just to again get another plug in here, Sanjita, you just released a video on those packs. So
yeah, I like tried to shove that in right before this podcast.
You noticed that, yeah.
I was actually walking my dog and I was looking at the data mines showing the price. I saw the announcement before I left for my walk, but I was like, they'll probably be a $100 pack, $200. And I looked at it, it was like $10. I was like, what the? So I like tried to run the last part of the walk back. I need to do a video on that to talk about it. But yeah, it's just such a ridiculous value. It's insane. Like $10 and then all these Relic 5 characters. The BB-8 one is basically the Supreme Leader Kylo pack. Yeah, you have to do some extra bumps, but it's hands down, I would do it. Like, I've never spent money on the game, but if I were in the position where that would benefit me, I would definitely do that. Like $10. Like, I'm not that stingy. Like, the reason I don't spend is because most stuff doesn't, like, scratch the surface of being, like, valuable. But that is just another level.
That's incredible. And, what are you enjoying about the game?
So I kind of, like, ditto what you guys said. I didn't complete all the quests in the game, but I ditto the catch-up bundles. It's kind of cool. I just like Grand Arena, playing with Datacrons, like the meta switching up every couple seasons. It really keeps it fresh to me, and just trying to figure that out and get ahead is like a game on its own. And since I, for newer characters like Leia, I'm always stuck so long behind marquees, I kind of have the flexibility to put relics on key tunes that I haven't done in a while. And I talk about it in the video that's coming out tomorrow. By the time this podcast is out, it's probably already out. But I, until the Leviathan requirements came out, I had 4 R9s. I now believe I have 13 or 14. Whoa. So I've just been slapping them on. Like, I finally gave them to GLs other than JML. Jabba and JMK don't have it. But I like in the past 2 weeks, maybe even the past 1 week, I gave R9 to Gas, a GK, and Maul. And that's kind of the focus, the crux of tomorrow's video. And that was just fun. Like, it's like this character is maxed. And that's a great feeling, especially for such valuable characters.
And where are you getting all of the, what's the top piece, the computer something or other? So you're getting those keypads? Like, Gerda keypads? Yeah, getting those from raid rewards? Or what are you going, where are you pulling those in for all them R9s?
Those specifically, I'm exclusively farming the Mark 12 furnace node in fleet. I don't need to farm anything else with fleet, so I get tons of furnaces and I scrap those.
Okay, enough that you're scrapping them. Okay.
Yeah, I actually am getting lower on droid brains, though. I have 80 now. I used to have like over 200. But that, like, I have to pump the brakes in case I like really need something. And impulse detectors are getting low now. So I might have some more bottlenecks that shut me down.
Okay, interesting. Yeah, I always try to keep like one set of 20 Gerda keypads for, you know, them dropping some set of requirements or something that has me do an R9 or something. But I've been, you know, I'm not going crazy on R9s like you, but I am going, getting a lot more flexible on R8s here and there, trying to spread those out a little bit more. Like, yeah. You know, my Malgus isn't an R8 yet. I've just been really looking at them hard, thinking, yeah, it might be time to do that for the ship, but... but oh, I guess you also, just real quick to throw this out there, I know we're running really long. Your Leviathan, is your Leviathan still 5 stars, 6 stars, or did you do 7 stars?
Yep, it's a baby Leviathan, 5 stars.
5 stars. Are you going to take it to 6 next time it comes around? What's your plan?
Yeah, next time I'll get it to 6. And like the thing with that for me is it's just I don't have enough crystals for that kind of thing to max out Leviathan. So it is a disadvantage for sure, especially since all those buffs were mostly just for 7 star.
It is.
I like, if we didn't have a Galactic Chase and a new Datacron set coming up, maybe I could stretch and get to 7 with the next time, but I'll definitely get 6 and like halfway to 7 and prep myself. Nice. So 2 months, not the next one, but the one after that, I'll have a 7 star.
Yeah, I just got -6 stars the last round of its event, and then I actually did so good this Grand Arena round. I feel like I picked up like 4,000 crystals or something in this last. Nice. So I went 7 of 9 and just and got back into Kyber One, and it just seemed like it was a real boon for me. So definitely gonna, I of course I keep an insane buffer, I'm not gonna tell you because you'll judge, but I'll have 10,000 or 9,000 to drop next time it comes around to take it to 7 stars. So I'm actually kind of excited about that.
Sweet.
But with that, you guys, we did it. Sanjita, thank you so much for joining us. This has been a real pleasure getting to interact with you directly. I can't wait to check out all your videos. And if you would please let the listeners know where they can find you.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me on. Really enjoyed it talking to you guys and having Sarah on too. It was a lot of fun. You can find me on YouTube my channel is just called Sanjita. It's spelled S-O-N-G-E-T-A. For any Dragon Ball Z fans out there, it's a contrived reference to Son Goku and Vegeta, just kind of a combo name.
I was wondering.
So yeah, mainly cool. Just a YouTube person. Yeah, that's where it's from. I liked how it looked, what I created my game name. That was my game name. I just liked how it looked in writing. I was like, yeah, I'll go with that. But yeah, I also have a Discord server. The link's in pretty much every video. Honestly, I'm not too interactive in Discord just because I turn notifications off for basically everything on my phone. So I don't, unless you tag me, I don't see it for a little bit. But I do have that because people always ask for it. So just YouTube and Discord.
Okay, that's great. Do you ever consider streaming at any point, going onto a streaming service or streaming live your YouTube?
I guess I've done a few streams, and I know a lot of people do enjoy the live streams, but I will say, unfortunately for those people, I don't enjoy it as much as just pre-recording it, just because of flexibility, and it's always hard to pick a time that works well for a lot of people since everyone's really spread out. And I mean, you get like 200 viewers at a time, which is pretty good. Like, that's actually pretty nice. But I like recording it and preparing ahead of time and having time to work on stuff and not pigeonhole myself into a set schedule, because it's very hard to work around.
That's great. Well, keep it up. You're doing great work. Again, thank you for having me. Maul, thank you for joining us, taking an evening to record a podcast with me.
Pleasure as always.
And thank you to the listeners for taking the time to listen to this episode and everything that we had to offer here. Feel free to join us on the HNN Discord if you want to continue the conversation. And with that, it is time to
go switch off.